United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229 at 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 16th of June, 2014. In studio, you know it's open mic. Jeff, Ben, and Styx are here. And good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm just peachy.
Wow. Happy Father's Day. You know, we didn't talk about Father's Day on last Friday, and so I didn't wish anybody a happy Father's Day. So I'm a little late. So, Happy Dad's Day. What did you guys do? Did they take care of you like they take care of Mother's Day?
I can tell you what I didn't do.
What's that?
Go to a buffet.
Oh, yeah.
Like I did for Mother's Day. I wonder why, because there aren't any.
Yes, there are.
No. Who had them?
There was the buffet, the Royal Buffet up here on.
Oh, no.
And then there was.
They're always a buffet.
But, well, see, you don't have to worry about this because you guys don't cook anyhow.
I have no choice.
I grilled. I cooked yesterday.
Oh, you cooked?
I grilled chicken breasts.
It was Father's Day.
Yeah.
You know how to have steak?
No, actually we're not because Dr. Danielle says no.
So yeah. You can't have it either.
Well, I could, but
he's just
you are
he's a good guy.
Man, you're getting us in trouble.
We had everybody over the house yesterday, Mom, Dad. You know, today's my mother's birthday, Mom, if you're listening, happy birthday.
Good going.
So we had everybody at the house, and my brother-in-law and I did some work on my camper. We moved the air conditioner.
It's Father's Day. Don't you guys know how not to work on Father's Day?
No. A camper has air conditioning?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. The camper's got air, bath, water.
My camper has a shower in it that will rival any hotel shower you want to see.
So basically it's not camping. It's just...
He's got a glamping.
It's called glamping.
Glamping?
He's glamping.
You know what he's got?
Huh?
A rolling condo.
A rolling condo?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you put the car in the back so you never have to unhook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought camping was like roughing it, you know, no shower.
No, my wife calls this her Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
Because my wife don't do camping.
So that's RVing then.
Yes, RVing. Okay, I'm
No. That's called glamping.
Glamping. Glamorous camping.
Glamorous camping.
Yeah, glamping.
Glamping. You don't. You know, it's like did you see Benjamin, Private Benjamin with Goldie Hawn the movie years ago?
I missed that one.
It's when I think it was when she decided to join the army.
Mm-hmm.
She was. That's what it's like. Hmm. Yeah, that's what.
For those who know. Because I never saw that movie, and guess what? I never will unless somebody ties
it. It was a girl's movie.
Stomach sucked in as far as it'll go.
What was that? Telling folks to take it to be better.
Huh.
So what else? So there was Father's Day.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was a national holiday. I looked online. Everybody was saying Happy Father's Day to their dads. Dads had no Facebook page whatsoever, and everybody was on there talking Happy Father's Day.
No flags.
Except for the flaming feminists who want it banned.
Want Father's Day banned?
Yeah, they want Father's Day banned.
Why?
Because it enforces a paternalistic society that is detrimental to women.
What do you read?
Oh, I believe you, brother. I believe you because they're crazy.
Hey, Matt, how are you? Good morning and happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you very much, and happy Father's Day to everybody in the studio and everybody listening. I hope everybody had a good weekend.
Hey, I'm going to come out to your house. You got a pool and a new car and everything. Y'all put everything on Facebook. I've seen it.
I don't have a new car. My wife does.
There you go.
Oh, it makes a difference?
Yes, it does.
It makes a big difference. It's a happy wife, happy life.
Now, is that true? Somebody said that was not true.
Oh, no, it's true. Trust me.
No. Happy wife. Chance at having a happy life.
No.
Oh, yeah. There's a chance of it. It does not mean that it's not going to rain.
Well, I didn't say who was having the happy life either. I just said happy wife, happy life.
I like that.
Are you guys, listen, why do you guys say that? That's not true. What have you been up to, Matt? It's good to hear from you.
Oh, I just, work is doing great, so I've been busy with that. I've been doing some extracurricular activities in the evening, and things are full, but I decided to treat myself to a day off today, so I'm playing hooky, and I haven't called in a while. I wanted to touch base with you guys and see what you were talking about.
NASCAR, Spurs.
Chuck Noll passed away.
Yeah,
Chuck Noll, Casey Kasem.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
America's
Top. Ruby D.
I told my wife all my childhood icons are dying. That must mean I'm getting over the hill.
and Ben comes and said, "Oh, that's sad." Ben, listen, you got 70 years. You get another 10, 12. Some taking 30, 40 years after 70, dying 100.
Oh.
That ain't sad. That's when you're tired.
Yeah, no.
And Casey Kasem was having a hard time because his family was fighting over him.
Well,
I don't know why they were fighting over him.
He had Parkinson's and dementia towards the end.
The stepmama crazy.
So why? But she married him.
That was his second wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Parkinson's and dementia.
Right. So
he
if she
run for president then.
So if she wanted to move. If she wanted to move him, I mean, he must have been happy with her. He had been married to her for a very long time.
He didn't know the difference at this time.
So,
I'm sorry. So, listen, missing his, his children, he didn't let the children do nothing.
Well?
That's not right.
What do you mean it's not right?
It's not right.
Why isn't it right?
It's not right. You don't withhold the father from the children. I know several people that did that.
What do you mean?
Right,
what do you mean? Withhold the father from the children?
You do not allow. I know somebody that kept the kids from coming to
as
see
adults?
Their sick father as adult.
Oh, okay.
About to die.
So why would they keep them from seeing their father?
So there's not a chance of him signing over any money to them. That's why.
So now let me ask you this: what about children who don't come see their parents? And don't get me wrong, I'm not leaning on this.
I know some that don't.
Let me finish. What about children that all through the times don't come, don't see, don't call, don't do anything? And, you know, he and his stepwife or stepmother or whomever it is, and they're there, and then when he gets older, they want to come around then.
Well,
and he knows the wishes of them because, you know, family dynamics are really strange because no one knows what goes on behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. No one knows what where the nose goes.
You know,
the
one that gets me is when, you know, the child becomes wealthy for whatever reason, and then the missing father or missing mother just shows up all of a sudden wanting to be the parent.
Wasn't that LeBron?
LeBron James.
Yeah, there's many.
His mom was right there all the time.
We're talking about
through.
His dad showed up.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
How does a man walk away from his children and never turn around? I mean, I know
he's not a man.
I know some women push them away.
He's not a man.
Well,
he's a male.
But he's not a man.
But he's not a man.
No way is a man.
But how does that happen?
I mean,
society's
made it acceptable.
Right.
There was a time when you didn't do that because your father and your wife's father, or your the lady that you made a baby with's father. Took you out behind a woodshed and said, you're going to meet your obligations, or we're going to make you meet your obligations.
You're going to meet your obligations or your maker. Which one?
Yeah. And our society has gotten away from that somewhere in the 60s when we said, well, you know, divorce is good for the children. You shouldn't stay married just for the children.
No, it's when the government stepped in and said, you don't need a father.
I think it was more of that. I think it was more of that what Ben said than what you said. Because I'm not going to stay with you if you beat me.
Well, it's more about
if you beat me, I don't care.
But the thing is, if you had a strong father, your husband wouldn't beat you because your father would beat your husband.
Not necessarily.
Oh yeah.
No. Because there's been.
And if Dad wasn't big enough, he'd bring a couple uncles.
But you gotta realize they're beating just didn't start. Beating has been around for a long time. So domestic violence this didn't just start in with O.J. Simpson. Men were beating their wives for a very long time and treating them very, you know, but they were very mean.
Yeah, they still are, Trace. Lots of wife beating going.
Absolutely.
And some husband beating, actually.
I've seen some abuse with that. I saw a woman, Cole Parker.
Huh?
Yeah, well, he probably,
know
no, women, but that, he needed, I think he cheated on her. That was a good moment.
Willie Nelson, you heard that story, didn't you?
No.
Oh, yeah. Willie come home drunk one night, beat his wife up. She didn't say a word. Next night he went out, got drunk, come home. She rolled him up a bed sheet and worked him over with a broom handle. Never did it again.
But see, not everybody's there. So, you know, domestic violence, that's not a new thing. And it still goes on, but it's been around for a while. And so some children get raised thinking that that's normal life.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's nothing normal about it.
Nothing normal about it, but if that's all you know, then you think that's what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some of them that don't believe that their husbands love them unless they're abusive to them.
Because they grew up in a house.
Absolutely.
That's Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, no, they grew up in a house where the mother coalesced to being beat or hollered at and all of that stuff, and they think it's normal. And they use the same things to communicate after that.
Absolutely. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. Hey, Ben, I haven't seen you in a while. What you been doing?
I've just been working, you know, putting things together, building my life back.
Can you hold that mic right there?
I can't rock then.
No, you can't rock. Don't rock and roll because you keep on going.
Yeah, I know.
You know, yeah.
In and out. Yeah. Not a good thing.
So you got your life together.
Yeah, just, you know, putting
things together. Business is good.
Business is struggling, but it's...
You know, it's good. Business is good because the recession is over.
Wait. You've been reading the
paper.
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid too?
No.
Sounds like you've been drinking the Kool-Aid.
And the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, no. It's not the Kool-Aid. You're snorting something. That white powder, stay away from it.
With Chuck Noll gone, we just might have a chance. I'm sorry to say this.
But wait a minute, Chuck Noll passed away. He was the former coach, right? Or former
coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Well, 4 Super Bowl titles he won himself. Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but he won under 2 different sets of rules.
Oh, yeah.
He won his first 2 Super Bowls. I learned this morning on the way in. He won his first 2 Super Bowls when they didn't have when passing wasn't so much allowed. And then they changed the rules and allowed more passing, and he changed his game. He changed his tactics to allow Terry Bradshaw to pass, and so it's not like he was just a one-dimensional coach.
Yeah,
I have a question for you since you mentioned that because I'm getting ready to be real flippant. Hey, Eric, your mic is on too, Matt. Was there a time in football you couldn't pass, but so many times in a game? Really?
Yeah, the forward pass was an evolution over
time. Yeah, it sure was. That's true.
So. It was a what? Explain that to me for the small people.
Football actually was a variation of rugby, and it started out sort of like rugby.
Okay.
And it evolved through the years where, you know, in rugby, if you understand rugby, English rugby, there's no forward pass there.
It's all lateral passes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, moving the ball, running the ball, being tackled, gang tackled, and football sort of evolved from that.
You know, rugby players play without pads. They get hurt far less than football players.
Yes,
but it's still just as violent a game.
Well, they don't run and charge each other head-on as much.
And I've read a lot of things that said the reason they don't is because they don't have any pads. Because if I run my head into your stomach, it's going to crack my neck, and I know it's going to do it.
I said that last week because I read something recently. They said all this technology that's showing, you know, with all this padding and all this, is actually causing more injury to football players than when they had less.
Well, that's human nature. I mean, even in NASCAR, they say that the drivers are taking more chances because the cars are so safe. I mean, we've had wrecks here in the past couple of years where the cars have just disintegrated around the driver, and he gets out and walks away.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you go and Google Michael Waltrip at Bristol, he didn't walk away from that one, but...
He didn't die.
Yeah. Google Michael Waltrip at Bristol or Kyle Larson in the fence at Daytona. And just look at the video.
Look at drag racing. Drag racing has got some of the most... I'm sorry. Drag racing has got some of the most violent crashes, you know, and they get worse and worse.
Concerned about your health? Confused about
sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's all right. They just get worse and worse because of what Styx was just saying. It's built so safe, and the car literally disintegrates around the driver, and the driver's sitting in this little protective cocoon.
Yeah, I mean, them drag race guys, they catch fire a lot.
So
it's
there,
amazing how much. How
so
many
if they're saying that, and that's what's happened with our sports, what are we going to do? Because right now they're talking about they're making wussy football, or at least they're talking about it.
Well, I don't know,
well,
Tracy.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about moving down to Miami and trying out for the Heat. What do you say?
Well, you and Alabama might make a good team because they need some help.
Let me tell you something. I think happened. Tim Duncan, and what's the other senior member of that team?
San Antonio Spurs.
Yes.
I don't know.
Now, I'm not saying
the MVP? The new kid, the 24-year-old?
No, the oldest member.
Okay.
Tim Duncan is old. He's 38. There's another guy that's older, too. I'm minded, and this is my thought. I think that maybe the Heat threw the game.
Why?
Because they have two rings already, Tim Duncan.
But that wouldn't make them throw it in five. They could have threw it in seven.
Why go that long?
Money.
They don't need the money.
Money.
They're getting ready to give up money so that they could go doggone and get Jamari somebody or
that's something different.
But no, they ain't nothing different. They don't need the money. Them guys is rolling in dough.
But they're not rolling. This is not the role of the dough of them.
Tim Duncan.
I'm talking about the owner of the team. They really don't. He don't want you to really cash out. I think they were just a better team. I think San Antonio was just a better team. And they played better.
I say that they were very evenly matched. I say that they were probably perfectly matched. I say this is just my thought. It makes sense to me because I understand people. You know, that's a camaraderie in games like that. And I think that they could have thrown that game for the purpose of letting Tim Duncan and them get a ring before they retire because they've been in it a long time.
If that's the case, no, I don't see that.
Okay, if that's the case, what?
Michael Jordan. Well, not Michael Jordan. Who was it that retired without a ring? Jazz, Utah Jazz, when he played. The Republican.
Who?
Help me out, guys.
He sure ain't going to win. You never have to do that here, Republican.
the black Republican who is a commentator. He retired without a ring.
Okay, from where?
The mailman, I think. Didn't the mailman retire without a ring?
You got to get some names. Somebody else.
North Alabama.
I'm not a basketball fan.
I'm a huge basketball. But you know what? I played basketball so much. That's what I. That was my game. I couldn't do football.
Hey Tracy. First of all, Carl Malone is the guy that you're looking for, and yes, he retired without a ring. Stockton, Barkley. There's been a bunch of them retired without a ring. Jeff, back on his conspiracy thing. First of all, San Antonio is the better team.
Thank you very much.
San Antonio, but back to Chuck Noll, and this goes back to why the Steelers won all that. Not only did they have great coaches, and I say great coaches because there was a guy that just died back in March that was responsible for bringing a lot of the talent that the Steelers had in from the smaller historical black colleges down south. He actually was not a football player. He was a basketball player, and he wrote and picked the All-American teams from the small African-American schools down in the South, and that's how you got Mean Joe Green and Mel Blunt and Earl Holmes. He was the guy, Stallworth, he was the guy that recruited them. And these were guys that the NFL scout kind of looked over. But Chuck Knoll said if they have the talent, he says, I can coach them. So that was a big thing. And then you got to remember the Steelers in 1974 had probably the best draft ever in the history of the NFL. Where their top four picks in the draft all are enshrined in Canton now as Hall of Fame members. So, I mean, the Steelers had a really good organization, and they just happened to have one of the best coaches ever in the history of the game. And Chuck Knoll deserves to be mentioned with the guys like, you think Miami Dolphins, you think Shula, you know what I mean? You think of the Packers, and it was Vince Lombardi. Well, the Steelers in the 70s, that was Chuck Knoll.
Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSJM.
Get off the conspiracy.
I'm calling you out, Larry.
Hey, listen, Diva, your mic is on. The number is 347-945.
Hello?
And now, an emotional daddy moment.
I'm a daddy. I have three beautiful daughters, Victoria, Jade, and Camille, which are the
Well, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I was telling Jeff, I sent this over to him. See, that's how much you paid attention to me. I sent it over to him on yesterday because I saw the parody yesterday morning because he did crappy, and, you know, we've been talking about it. And does he pay attention to my post? No.
I didn't read anybody's post. I shut my stuff down.
It was
I
family
was in church. Yeah, I played two services at church yesterday.
Okay.
Because our piano
don't,
player
don't,
hurt
I'm not
hurt
falling
her
for all that.
I'm just going to fall for it.
I ain't falling
no,
for all that.
Would Happy be a good church song?
No. And people need to stop playing it in church. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hey, Matt, it's always good to see you in the place. Did Diva entertain you during the break, or were you by yourself?
I had to go let the dog that I can't stand out, so he did his thing so he didn't crap on my floor again.
Listen, you leave the dog alone.
I hate that
dog,
Tracy. I hate it.
What? How do you hate the dog? How can you hate a dog? The reason why you hate a dog is because you're jealous.
Listen, I don't abuse the dog. I'm the one that feeds the dog. I'm the one that takes the dog out. I'm the one that bathes the dog, takes it to the vet, and spends money on the dog. But who does the dog hate the most? Me. How does that work out?
Well, take me to the vet to get a shot, and we'll find out.
You took him to be neutered, didn't you? You took him to be neutered.
I love that commercial where the dog is in the car, and it says, Mommy, what does neuter? And the dog jumps out the window.
Well, you know, I learned the other day that some people are actually getting their dogs vasectomies.
Huh?
They're getting their dogs vasectomies because they don't want them to appear to be female. They want them to keep their family jewels for
well,
cosmetics.
My dog still got it, so and he's too old for me to do anything. So whatever.
And you love that dog.
All the chores that I have to do during the day, you know, along with work and dishes and cooking and this, that, and the other, I'm cleaning up a mess at least twice a day from this dog. And I take it out all the time. I don't get it. He does it to spite me. He hates me.
He loves you. And you love that dog. You just tell stories.
You're going to have to come by the house. We'll have a nice dinner. And you can see what that dog does to me.
That you love that dog. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Got a question for you guys. America, are we going back to Iraq or Iran?
Oh yeah.
Are we going with troops boots on the ground?
They're already there.
And they were left.
The Marines are in combat in Iraq right now.
We're not there.
We never left.
Well, we left.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
What we did is we decommissioned whole units and had them be brought into Iraq as what do they call the people they pay to fight for you?
Mercenaries.
Yes, that's
but,
cool.
So
that's
are
what we did.
So are we going to increase troops there? Are we going to go back in?
Either that or they'll decommission more units and send them over as mercenaries.
But no. I'm talking about, because right now...
Because, you know,
the
president doesn't lie.
Well, that's something different, and I'm going to get to that, because I saw something on Facebook that I have to read to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew my mind. Some of you may see it, may have seen it, because it was so glowing of him. But
you ain't talking about Paul Krugman.
I saw that.
You saw that?
Yeah.
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 And it was just amazing. And I said, really?
Yeah, I know. It's like you had to put your boots on because you were in and you were shoveling at a really fast rate.
Past boots.
What paid? Hip waders.
Front loaders.
But my question is, are we going to go back to war? Do we have to go back over there? And do we have the resources to go?
We absolutely have to go back to war. And here's why. It was not so far, you know, long ago when I heard a president... I'm not going to mention any names, say that Al-Qaeda was on the run, and he also, they pushed, the left heavily pushed to put a sunset on the Iraq war about a year after Obama took office. So what did that do? It did exactly what we've been saying it would do. It tells the enemy when we're going to leave, which Ben's right.
We didn't leave, but
we did draw down. So it tells the enemy when we're going to not be enforced. And it also, you know, Al-Qaeda's on the run. That gives them cover to go ahead and build forces, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Hey, Matt, doesn't this look an awful lot like Vietnam? Pull everybody else and then watch the government disintegrate?
It does look a lot like Vietnam, but the thing is we didn't pull out of Vietnam and go back.
And this is a little bit different than Vietnam, because Vietnam, these guys, these, if you look at, from my understand this, this ISIS, and this militant group that is taking over, they are the most funded in the history of Al-Qaeda. They've got something like $400 million or something crazy
that
like
they
that.
They stole from the bank out of Crete when they
right.
when they overran it. Plus, they got they didn't tell you they got like something like 40 or 70 Abrams tanks.
Are those our tanks?
They've got 500 armored vehicles that we left in Iraq.
Right.
Can I ask you a question? Huh? Why would we leave them?
Because the leadership wanted the Iraqis to be able to defend themselves. None of this would be happening if they would have just listened to the generals. All the generals wanted to do was leave 10,000 troops in Iraq, the stabilizing force, just 10,000 troops. That's it. Just like we left troops in Germany, just like we have troops in Korea, just like we have troops in Japan, just like we have troops scattered all over the world as a stabilizing force,
Cuba.
Leave them there. Yeah, Cuba. We've got troops in Cuba.
Well,
Guantanamo Bay was a U.S. naval base long before we ever built a prison there.
So tell me, what is the why? I mean, this president. And see, and I heard somebody, they keep on saying that we should not have gone into Iraq, period. We should have never gone over there. And President Bush, he lied. We shouldn't have gone, and it's his fault that we're there.
They're half right.
It goes back before President Bush. That was the
absolutely.
Left that was demanding to Bush that he go into Iraq and take care of those WMDs that suddenly didn't or weren't there a couple years later. That was the left.
So is this the ongoing war that never ends?
No. It doesn't have to be. Having troops in a country as a stabilizing force is not war.
But right now we would have to go over there and blow the crap out of everybody.
Oh, now, yeah. It's.
I mean, we would have to go to full-fledged war to stabilize it
You are looking at the old Ottoman Empire being reconstructed. The reason we went to Iraq to start with was to counter the power of Iran in the region. Iran is now assisting. They have troops assisting the government of Iraq.
And they said, and
the weapons they're using are coming from Libya.
They said this morning that there needs to be an American-Iraq coalition.
Absolutely. When you fought with Germany, you are still in Germany from '40s. When you fought with Bosnia, you're still in Bosnia. You're still in Korea. You're still – why? Because you're balancing the power, which is why you needed to go in the first place.
Well,
because this same thing happening.
I will agree with you, but you also have to realize you've got two very, very opposite forces within that Ottoman Empire. You've got the Sunnis and you've got the Shiites. They were fighting each other before we got involved.
Doesn't matter.
But how do you make friends with your enemies?
But
you don't make friends.
We don't. What we need to do, and I hate to say this, but we need to divide and conquer. We need to start that split again. We need to give the Sunnis and the Shiites equal power, give them equal weapons, and let them kill themselves.
You all agree with that?
No.
It was working when Reagan did it.
Yeah, but I don't agree with it because that's why it changed. Don't forget, and nobody wants to remember this, the regime change law came into effect under Bill Clinton. And that is what gave President Bush the impetus to continue and complete. It needed to be done because you had too much danger in Iran getting nuclear weapons and Pakistan losing their weapons to people like what are doing this stuff now.
So let me ask this. We keep on talking about American foreign interest inside this area.
Mm-hmm.
Let's slow it down. It's only like 42 minutes after 9. We've got until noon.
Okay.
American foreign interest in this area, and we have allies.
Yes, the Saudi Prince Fayyid or whatever his name is, they're allied with us.
Okay.
Because they can't control their own population, to be honest with you.
So, and Larry, your mic is on. Diva, yours is on. Eric, yours is on, and so is yours, Matt. So tell me, And anyone who wants to call in, please push a 1 and or dial 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. That number is 330-781-9600. Why do we care what goes on if we don't get our oil? Hold on. If we don't get our oil from there, if they're not taking care of us, so why are we policing what they do? Why don't we just let them kill themselves?
Because we know we're no longer an isolationist state. We're in a global economy now.
Nope.
So what happens there affects
in what way?
Jobs here.
How does it affect jobs? How does it affect a gas
crisis? Trade with Saudi Arabia, trade with anybody in the Middle East, period. But once again, nobody's looking at the red herring.
China
definitely, but they have the capabilities of nuclear weapons, and some places have nuclear weapons already. You cannot let them fall into the wrong hands, or they will be used against you. It's like the Miranda rights nationally, internationally. Okay, any weapon that they find can and will be used against you.
Including your own planes.
Your own stuff. The United States is such a prize.
That was such a poor analogy. I can't even fathom.
That's because you don't know anything.
Hold on. Because the Miranda right says anything, whatever. It just doesn't make any sense that you would try to compare American criminal justice system to trying to police the world.
That's not what I was doing.
Not belong in the Middle East. The reason why we don't have a force there is because what you guys started to realize, there was a deal trying to be made where our troops can have immunity when it comes to certain practices such as our Christian troops. They would not give our troops immunity. So are you saying we should just keep them there and let the Iraqi government do whatever, need to bring them up on charges for doing their job? No, I don't think so.
So Diva, you're saying we need to stay out, we don't have to worry about it, and just let them kill each other, and America can just contend about domestic policy.
No, we can do other things than sending troops over, putting troops back in that region. We don't need to do that.
What can we do?
There's
we
other
can
ways
stabilize the region.
Hold on. What can we do? Diva?
Well, I'm a big believer in a NATO coalition.
Yeah,
NATO-led
right.
coalition.
We had one of those going into Iraq. Remember, there was 40 something nations that went into Iraq together.
No, that was
that
the U.S. led
action.
Coalition.
Yes,
had
it was.
Nothing to do with
no,
NATO.
It was U.S. led.
One at a time. So. There was a U.S. So when we went into Iraq, it was a U.S. led, and we went with everyone else. They followed us. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, we.
I'm looking at it right now. List of the nations.
We organized and created the coalition and organized it so that we could go in there and do this because
and
it was important to everybody there.
Many Muslim countries were part of that coalition also.
Okay.
And believe you, the peaceful Muslim nations don't want these people around.
All right, here we go. Slovakia, Lithuania, Italy, Norway, Hungary, Netherlands, Portugal, New Zealand, Thailand, Philippines, Honduras, Dominican Republic, Spain, Nicaragua, Iceland, United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Romania, El Salvador, Estonia, Bulgaria, Moldova, Albania, Ukraine, Denmark, Czech Republic, South Korea, Japan, Tonga, Azerbaijan, Singapore, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Macedonia, Latvia, Poland, Kazakhstan, Armenia, Mongolia, Georgia. That's the list.
Mongolia was the one
that
gets me.
But that still does not mean it was NATO-led. It was the U.S.
Nobody
led.
Nobody said it was NATO-led. Nobody said it was NATO-led.
Yes, he did.
No, we didn't.
One at a time, guys.
I didn't say
Diva.
You, Jeff.
Diva.
Thanks for saying that.
All right, Diva. Here's the deal. Do you know anything about NATO? Do you understand what NATO is?
Yes, I do understand what NATO
is.
No, you don't,
because I was part of NATO for 12 years. NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The only thing NATO can do as an organization is defend a member country. Iraq was not a member country, so NATO cannot be involved as NATO. The U.S., and for all intents and purposes, the U.S. is NATO. Every NATO command, guess who the top officer is at every NATO command. He's an American, captain or admiral.
Anybody else want to lead, Linda, to this? Before you, hold on, Diva. Because we didn't go. We weren't the only ones there.
No, it was a NATO sanctioned, but it was an American led invasion.
People
I just want to ask a question because I'm really not sure. Diva's talking about a NATO led or a NATO force together going in. There has to be somebody has to lead that in some way, shape, or form, right? I mean, there's no organization as just a NATO force, so somebody has to lead that.
Yeah, just the same way that Eisenhower was Supreme Allied Commander Europe.
No, but I will say this. Diva does have a point. I mean, if we can somehow figure out how to destabilize the region by taking advantage of the split between the Sunnis and the Shiites, we wouldn't have to go there at all. They would kill each other. They've done it before.
You can't afford it.
We can't afford for them not to kill
each
other.
No, because you have oil-rich nation. You have oil-rich fields there, and that's why you had the Kurds take over the one area, because they took over the area with the richest oil fields in them.
And no, the Kurds were in the north.
That's where the richest oil field is right now. That's what they reported on the news yesterday. So forgive me if I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, the oil fields are in the south.
Okay, I'm just telling you, wherever the Kurds took over, they have the richest of the oil fields. But all the other stuff, the control of the country is in Baghdad. These guys are 60 miles away. Now, here's the thing. You let Baghdad fall, you talking about paying $7 a gallon for gas pretty soon, because these people are barbarians. They are not people of today or even with a mindset of anything. And like you said, Tracy, anybody want to live in a cave with a dirt floor and be all right with it, and will wait, they will do anything. They boiled these people alive. They didn't just shoot them and kill them. They boiled certain of the people alive that were leaders in the country.
So 440, your mic is on.
Yes, if you listen to Jeff, he's entirely accurate. Entirely. He's right on with the whole situation. That and any attempt to close down the Strait of Hormuz, you're going to be paying $20 a gallon.
That's right.
Yeah. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely correct.
We'll be dead in the water. So what everybody else is talking about and speculating about as far as letting them do what they want to do, you listen to Jeff. Jeff is telling you the truth.
So my question is, I'm asking because the current administration, he wants us to sit back like he did Syria, from my understanding.
He wants us to lose.
Absolutely.
All right. I hate to say it. He wants us to lose, no matter what the situation is, no matter what, you know, whatever it is, you know. Domestic or foreign, he wants us to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you
it.
Believe that, too. You believe that this is all a part of his plan to fundamentally
Anytime
change America.
Destroy it.
His father's plan.
He does not want to see. Did you listen to what he said this weekend? He says, America's future is illegal aliens. All right? So that tells me that he does not believe in the black population. We know he hates whitey. I mean, it is what it is. He wants us to lose.
I got to take a break.
I'll tell you why after.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You got a few minutes.
Okay. The reason why he wants it to lose, the international bankers are with this, and that's who's supplying him, and that's why he can get away with losing the IRS tapes between the White House and Lois Lerner. Okay, and nobody's doing a doggone thing about it because they're afraid of death, because they know they could die for this. They will destroy. They will take over the world one way or another. And if they don't do it if they don't do it by destroying our economy, so every other economy fails, they'll unleash this stuff in the Middle East where it will destroy your allies. They won't be able to move without oil. You don't have enough oil to supply them, nor enough infrastructure to supply them. Because this idiot's holding it up where you could have had just a little bit more. because in times of trouble, the United States government takes over every transmission of energy. They take it over. That's a law. But we don't know that because we don't know nothing.
You said it
period.
Better than
I mean,
we
don't.
Good job.
So Ben, do you agree with this?
Somewhat.
Where do you change what you agree?
Well, I agree that our president's an idiot, and I agree that he's a terrorist, and I agree that he's part of this international coalition of bankers that are trying to bring down America.
No, wait a minute, no. We vehemently defend President Obama. He is subject to a level of disrespect, treachery, and betrayal and sabotage from within that no other president has experienced. Still, he succeeds, and his success makes American lives better.
Did you see my response to that?
No. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I don't respond to bull.
That was the Krugman. That was the Krugman report there that you just read, Tracy.
I read. It was on.
That was somebody. I don't know. If that was Krugman.
It wasn't Krugman. It was
somebody that made that statement. It was crazy.
I mean, what did he accomplish?
I'm looking at this weekend, and I'm going, really?
No, I understand. There's no reason whatsoever that statement should have been made. I can't think. What was this president's finest hour?
Yeah, everybody always says that he's done so much. I mean, what has he accomplished?
I'm not quite sure, but I'm trying to figure it out. So,
well, he's got more people on welfare than ever before.
Government dependent.
Yeah.
He downgraded our credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely hurt our health care system.
Destroyed your economy almost.
Almost.
It can come back if you get somebody else in there.
This is everything he said he was going to do was outlined in his book, and he's done it.
Right.
Good morning, South Carolina. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Tracy. Doing pretty good. I'm listening to you guys on iHeart, and I gotta agree with what you guys are saying. I mean, I'm looking at the situation over in Iraq, and I'm looking at city after city fall. You know, you've got the embassy being evacuated, embassy workers being sent home, the photos that they're showing. You know, Iraqi soldiers being massacred. And I'm sitting back and I'm watching this, and it's like, well, we'll let you know what we're going to do when I come back off vacation. Well, and I'm like, if that doesn't make you look like impotent, I don't know what does. And these guys are loving it. They are loving it. This is proving that the American culture, the American way of doing things, the American dream is dead to them. They're like, well, hey, look, America's weak. We're weak. They have finally brought down the great Satan.
Well, so, and we almost had the government of Iran toppled, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, and he refused to assist the Green Revolution.
I mean,
and he didn't have to send a single piece of armament.
No.
He could have done it by overriding their social media locks and those other things. He could have done it the same way Reagan overthrew the Poles, the Polish government.
Communist.
Polish communist.
Yes. Lech Wałęsa.
You know, I mean, people don't understand. These people are beheading people, and they are crucifying people.
Because
now, one guy we turned loose for this Bergdahl clown is they've got pictures of him showing with five heads in front of him. Five beheaded heads on his social media page.
And it's so crazy. Nobody believes, you know, my answer to that post was, no, it's because you don't believe, you don't think and you don't believe that he has screwed things up really bad, that you will realize that in a couple of years.
And who was responsible for letting that person out of jail?
Which person?
The one that had the five beheaded people in front of him?
Barack Hussein Obama.
Okay, so isn't he guilty of murder?
No.
Well, no. These were before treason. These were before they turned him loose.
This is treason.
So he's not going to. Yeah, that treason. Yeah.
Ben, he fired all the generals that would do anything about it.
Yeah. No. Our president is not an American.
Don't listen to you guys. Oh man, hold on. I'm going to take a break. The number is 347-945-5229. The mics are on in the chat.
Who we got in here?
This is Eric in Ohio. This is Eric in Ohio.
Hey, Eric. What's going on?
It's not much. Big Willie, better known as South Carolina. Now, think about this, guys. Think about this. Didn't Saddam Hussein execute all of his generals? Isn't this kind of eerily similar here with what Obama's doing?
Yeah, with the Ba'ath Party.
Yeah, because he didn't agree with him. They didn't agree with him, and he didn't agree with him. So what did he do? Took him out back and shot him. Well, our president's just firing him.
Yeah, there's definitely there's similarities. It's history repeating itself again. So, and we just let it happen.
And yeah, it just blows my mind. It's like, you know, imagine your wife telling you that the water heater's leaking, and you say, "We'll worry about it when we come back from our 2-week vacation from Hawaii." You know, no. We're going to put the vacation on hold, and we're going to fix this, you know?
It's because it's exactly what – I forgot who was saying it, but he's doing exactly what he wants to do. He wants to lose every war that he's in to get America into a position of having to, you know, to kneel before world powers. That's what it's all about. So – and he's doing splendidly at it. You put, as I said before, sunsets on these wars. People know exactly when to come in and take the country back. So they put sunsets on the Iraq war, and boom, look at what's going on right now. That's what happens when you start telling the enemy what you're going to do. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like telling the drug dealers that we're only going to raid houses on Fridays, you know?
Right, or telling you exactly where the drunkie checkpoints are on the road. What's that do?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all of the stuff that was talked about 3, 4, 5 years ago, as far as handling Iraq and handling the war there, and you know, we went in and we won that war years ago. We won it, and all we had to do was just stay on point and stay strong. And I have no problem training Iraqi troops and having them take the country over. But what we allowed to have happen is we weakened our forces. The enemy started creeping back in, and we're training these Iraqi soldiers in the face.
Can you tell Ms. Doris is on until I need to see her? Sorry about that, fellas.
Is that you, Sal?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but basically we left the Iraqi soldiers to defend an impossible situation that we allowed grow back to the strength that it was when we first got into Iraq. So, I mean, what were they supposed to do? You know?
Yeah, I mean, they were trained with the mindset, you know, kind of a hold your hand type of training. So when we weren't there to hold their hands, they didn't know what to do.
Right.
Well, the thing about it is, guys, we've got 200 and you know, plus years of being warriors and fighting, you know, and having to fight wars. You know, they don't have that kind of training, and they don't have the warrior ethos like we do. And once you left them, it's like there was a void in leadership, so they suffered. I mean, here you've got 5 guys with guns, and you've got 50 guys with guns. Now you should know who's going to win that war, but they just don't. What they say in high school, you just can't coach heart. You know, either you got it or you don't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have a sense of valor or a sense of.
Yeah.
Of, I see what you're where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to know.
And to be honest with you guys, you know, from what I'm seeing, with what they've done to military boot camps, particularly Marine Corps boot camp, they've made it more quote unquote accommodating and less intimidating. Boot camp is supposed to be intimidating. Boot camp is supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be, you know, a situation where you are going to be stressed to the max. And that way, when you are in that situation where you're stressed to the max, you're not going to turn and run, and you're not going to, you know, be, you know, less well, you know.
You know whether you're going to function or not. And I think that's the whole point of those boot camps.
I think you said it before, Sal, that if they wanted you to have feelings and emotions, they would have issued it to them at boot camp.
Exactly. But there is nothing I would take for the 13 weeks I spent at Paris Island that changed my life. And I think all young men, you have to go through some type of boot camp.
It hasn't been lately that our armed forces have been sissified. I think it's been going on for a while, because when my dad was in the Army, they used to hit their soldiers. And I'm guessing, Sal, you're old enough that when you were in boot camp in the Marine Corps, didn't they physically rough you up?
They beat the crap out of you.
they even did it physically in ROTC during the Vietnam War. I have a buddy who has a scar on his cheek to this day. He mouthed it off, and they hit him in the face with a rifle butt. We were college kids. They have greatly sissified the Army.
Oh, yeah, because my uncle, he was Marine Corps during Vietnam, and he said, if the PC crowd, they would need therapy right now if they would hear the way he was talked to.
Yeah, exactly. There is nothing another American called drill instructor would do to you that would ever be worse than what the enemy would do to you. You need to be ready.
Yeah. There's if you really want to see what Marine Corps boot camp was like when I went through it, all you have to do is watch the first part of Full Metal Jacket.
Thank you, Bob. Everybody should watch that, I feel.
That movie, the first time I saw that movie, I had to turn it off because I was starting to get flashbacks.
Who was that guy that played that drill sergeant? Oh, my God. That guy deserves an Oscar for that.
That's R. Lee Ermey. That's Gunny.
Lee Ermey.
He's still on TV. He's still doing shows on History and Discovery.
He actually was a drill instructor, and what happened was they brought him in as a consultant. Some other actor was supposed to play the role, but he came in, and he was just spotting off some of these comments, and they finally gave him the role. I mean, when you sit there and off the cuff say that, you know, I want the head to be so clean that the Virgin Mary would be proud to come in and take a dump. I mean, it is crazy, man. Some of the stuff that these drill instructors come up with. I mean,
And this, there are so many guys I know that if they would have went through a kind of training like that, their lives would be totally different today.
Yeah. And Mike is telling me a story about Young Marines.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that they did to them.
Yeah, we were kids, and the guys who founded the Young Marines 55 years ago were World War II Marines who fought in the Pacific. I mean, they had all the patches: Guadalcanal, Okinawa, and I mean, we were 12, 13-year-old kids, and if we screwed up, I was telling South Carolina one day where we drilled at the Naval Center, one day they had us get down in the duck walk position and had us walk about a mile and a half in that position, and when they told us we could finally stand up, none of us could stand up, but we never made that mistake again. You know?
This is my life, or this is my
Tracy
band.
Wimbush.
This is for fun. Well, we got that too. We also got called F-Bird, ladies, you know.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOMAM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And it is open mic today. Today is Monday, and we'll go where you want to go. We're talking about what's happening over in the Middle East because it is the hot topic of the day. And it is something that I had to stop Jeff and Ben in their conversation because they were going to continue it during the break, and I tried not to let that happen. We've got Not So Blind Mike, South Carolina, Diva, and Eric are in the chat room. And Matt, it's good to have Matt here with us this morning.
May I say something good about President Obama? That he's done, that he did right?
Yes. Sure.
He's cut our foreign aid budget tremendously because we have no allies left anymore. So there's nobody to give money to.
I do have a question, though.
Well, don't feel bad. You know, what else? Hold on before you go too far. Hold the question. Want me to write it down? Because
yeah.
Don't forget.
No, I won't forget it.
Don't forget it. He also wants to cut the military budget too. Remember?
Of course.
So don't worry. So we're cutting money everywhere so that we can have a balanced budget.
That's,
so don't worry about it.
We got more money to take care of the illegal children coming over the border.
That's right.
All right. See. We got to hire more border control agents to change diapers and feed bottles.
But we'll get to the border control.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well,
go ahead, Ben. What were you going to say, Jeff? Because Ben's going serious.
I'm going
to say,
the one thing about...
Okay.
The one thing I do understand about this decision not to move quickly in Iraq, he told this president, or at least our people did, that we need to have a force there. And they voted it down. He told us, I don't want you in the country. And now he's calling for aid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's allowing this to have a little hot, you know, get a little hot for him because they'll kill him too immediately. And Obama probably is letting him do that. And I understand that. I'm not mad at that one.
Well, you know how they say a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Absolutely.
I mean, the past, I look at our past presidents, Clinton, Reagan, both Bushes, Carter, they were all burnt in effigy amongst these Muslim crowds.
Right.
Well, even so was Obama.
I've seen him burn.
You have to understand the mentality of those people. Anything that has to do with the United States is the great Satan. And they don't care. They don't care who it is.
Go ahead, ask your question because I got to.
That was my question.
And let me also say this: he has been, but this is what you have to understand. Even if you think that they're your friend, from my understanding and from my research that I found, you will never be a friend of radical Islam, no matter.
Unless you convert.
No. Even if you convert from the Western world, you will never be a friend of radical Islam as a Westerner, unless you are Islamic.
Sure you will. That's why you got those guys that went over there and became radical Islamists for the United States.
Mm-hmm. No. I see what Tracy is saying. Tracy's saying they'll use you as a tool. They'll use you
absolutely.
As a soldier, but they will never let you into the inner sanctum of,
right.
of their belief system.
Yeah, they'll continue to use whatever cannon fodder they can get their hands on, and once they're done with you, they will make you get rid of you because you're not whole.
Right.
You're not pure.
And I got news for Barack. I got news for Obama. That's exactly what the banks and the powers that be for this up and coming one world order are doing with him.
Oh yeah,
and that's
exactly.
I think somebody brought that up because I think Jeff was bringing up.
Yeah.
But see, I think that they're going to destroy the. You know, Jeff said I think during the break, what could they have against the money, or the bankers?
No, I said who could fight them?
Who could fight the bankers? No one could fight the bankers because the bankers are these people, and they keep on blaming the 1%. But the 1% are not.
No, it's the one-tenth of 1%.
Correct.
Radical Islam could fight these bankers. Believe it or not, they hate the bankers.
And
they attack the World Trade Center because for what it stands for,
right.
World Trade, and the bankers
It was U.S. That was because of the it was the center of U.S. trade, not World Trade, because that was a very symbolic attack.
Absolutely,
yes,
and actually, every attack that was on 9/11 was very symbolic if
right.
you really look at it.
Oh,
even
yeah.
the because you had your military. Because
yeah.
I was asking the question: can we afford? Right now, we're back in the Middle East. Can we really afford to go back in there at full strength? I don't think we have the resources
yeah.
and or the tenacity to go back in there.
You don't have the tenacity to go. You have the resources.
We would have the resources if the president wouldn't let the Environmental Protection Agency stop us from having the resources. I mean, that's the thing that really makes you crazy. The United States is the largest oil reserves on the planet.
Other than
but they're doing everything they can. No, even more than the Middle East.
No. Other than down in
Venezuela.
Venezuela.
And And our our president, through his EPA, is doing everything in his power to strangle the energy industry. I mean, I was
so
just down at my
mom and
dad.
Why would you do that if you know that we really don't need to be dependent upon foreign aid, especially the way things are right now?
Because the United States is too big for its britches, and we must fundamentally transform the United States.
According to our president.
According to our president. And many, many, many around him. And many, many who fund him.
Why do you think after all this debacle breaks out, he's up there making a speech Friday or Saturday saying the Congress is doing nothing about climate change?
Yeah.
This is the most asinine thing to go to from all of this stuff going on in the world. It's asinine. It doesn't make any sense, but the people don't know.
We're within a few thousandths of an inch of having a world war. And this president's playing golf, fundraising, and talking about global warming. Yeah, there's going to be global warming, all right. Global warming when you set off several hundred thermonuclear devices.
But what better way to make the Georgia Guidestones come to fruition?
Oh, yeah.
You know, only what?
Not so blind, Mike. What do you think about this?
500 million.
Yeah, 500 million.
Mike?
Hey, Tracy, if I may, I don't even understand that comment of Obama saying that the Congress isn't doing anything about dealing with global warming, when if you look at the books of all the things that have happened to industry in this country, to farmers, all these laws that were passed in lieu of environmentalism and for the EPA and all the constraints the EPA has over industry, I don't understand how you can even, with a straight face, make that comment that nobody's doing anything about global or man-made global warming. It seems to me they have a pretty good stranglehold on it.
Yeah.
Not so blind, Mike.
Yes, I am.
What are you thinking about this?
About Iraq in general and all of this stuff going
on? This whole thing going on.
Well, I think the president, until Jeff made up the possible scenario that he's basically playing brinksmanship with Maliki to punish him for daring to not let our troops stay, because the other day when the president made that statement that they needed to come up with a political solution and he was hoping they could resolve it amongst themselves, and going, excuse me, this is an invasion. There's no political solution in an invasion. And if he's going to accept that philosophy, is that what you expect our border guards are going to do with these people coming over and negotiate a peace with them? I mean, how do you negotiate peace with people who are invading you and killing your people? That isn't a political discussion. That's a military solution. So I just don't, Tracy, to be honest with you, I am just so, like, I can't figure out what the end game here is other than stupidity.
But you know he's not stupid, and you know that he has people behind him.
My opinion is the end game is the collapse of the United States of America as we know it.
But this is what I was leading to. If you look at the world economy, if you look at how the dollar, what is the value of the dollar right now?
Compared to what?
Compared to anything. What's the value of it?
I mean,
based upon a dollar is not worth a 100 pennies anymore.
Judge Napolitano says it's lost 80% of its value in the last 30 years.
So right now we're at 20 cents on the dollar.
Right.
Okay.
Which is why wage earners are taking it in a short sabbat.
Okay. So if that be the case and we're destroying the dollar, because you see a lot of people with a lot of money doing a lot of dumping into commodities and not into the dollar itself, because some commodities will always have value where your dollar will lose value, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
So if you have all this going on, and you have the education system of the American people going further and further backwards. We're not manufacturing anything. We're not producing anything. And we are allowing more and more immigrants to come in here by design. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that they're actually planning, there's a plan that to change the dollar to the Amero, to join America? I think, Ben, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum. Canada, America, and Mexico,
yes,
into one force, and to create another form of government completely.
Absolutely.
But you can't do that without destroying the America as you know it.
You must, because America is the is
well.
The,
oh, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, another you got another thing, another aspect of this too. This influx of illegal aliens is turning us into Israel, because they are going to have to be housed somewhere.
Somewhere.
So you end up building refugee camps for them. So what do you do with them after they're in the refugee camps? And what happens when you pack people like that into a refugee camp for generations? You end up with the East Bank or the West Bank. You end up with Hamas. You end up with the Palestinians. That's what you end up with. The Palestinians, if had they been left alone, would have assimilated into the society of Israel. But they were
isolated.
President Obama is still left with a Bush hangover.
Of course.
Yeah. You know what? You know why they're killing him? Because Bush said, if you take those troops out of there too soon, you're going to have to go back in there. Uh-huh. And he's right.
Well, he learned that from his father.
Well, no doubt about it, because
his father made the mistake of not finishing the job when he should have.
But see, that's because Saddam Hussein was our devil.
Well, not only that.
Well, he was our ally.
Not only that,
our hired devil.
Yeah.
Jeff, we also had to obey or abide by the UN treaty on the first Gulf War, which said the purpose was not to overthrow
any
Saddam
government.
Hussein, it was to remove him
from Kuwait. That was all
which
we
is
were,
what we did.
Right.
Because there were a lot of people that wanted to continue, but politically they couldn't do it because the world wasn't behind going at that time.
And he got ticked off, of course, and set the oil fields on fire, and we had to send companies in there to reclaim them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what you have going on. And see, we get mixed up from the political sound bites from people trying to get in power in the United States and what the truth is and what actually happened. And so we always quote things that are sound bites instead of going to what really happened.
So why is it that people are – because you really listened to the news this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of people talking about a lot of stuff, and it's all it has to do with this.
Yeah.
One's really telling the truth about what's really happening.
Right. Well, when you watch the news, the first thing you have to do is tell yourself, does that really make sense? You know, and you follow the money trail. If you follow the money trail and it makes sense, it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, that's what you believe. You don't believe what they're telling you. Because they are definitely, the news media is definitely going to mislead us when it comes to the truth.
So when will Americans, because right now, I mean, Diva, are you there?
I mean, look how Life magazine said how great Hitler was. And wow, what he's doing for Germany. We knew it wasn't the truth back then. We knew it. But
Diva, do you think that President Obama is making some bad decisions, or do you standing by his decisions that he's making?
There are some bad decisions that he's made, but for the most part, I agree with most of what he's done in his administration.
So you believe the most what he's done as far as foreign policy?
Yeah, as far as foreign policy, I just don't believe in a full-out invasion such as what we had with Afghanistan and Iraq. Him saying, I hope he sticks to his word with saying he is not going to send troops back into Iraq.
Why do you think it needs to be a full-out invasion?
No, I said not having a full-out invasion. But
okay.
that's what people are for. I do not believe in sending in troops again, especially those who have within the past what?
Okay, if we don't send troops. I'm sorry.
Iraq.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Eric.
So you think it's so? You're gonna be okay with paying $7 a gallon for gas then?
I think there could be another way. I don't think sending troops in is the
No,
answer.
Wait a minute. That's a good
point.
You know what?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on.
If there's another way, I'm all for it.
What other way do you think there is, Diva?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Give us some other options in your opinion.
That's for them to sit and figure it out. There can be another way. There's always another way.
No, there's not.
No, there isn't.
Hey, Diva.
Because, I mean, this is still going to escalate.
If we can capitalize.
Can a man,
on the split between the Sunnis and the Shiites, that would be another way. But how do we do that? That's the question.
It's not going to stop it.
I have a very basic question to ask Steve. Can a man negotiate with someone who wants to rape his wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Successfully?
Yeah. You ask him.
You might. Yeah.
You better not
You'd
go
be
home.
Surprised.
You might, but are you going to risk that chance in having your wife raped?
I mean, at least you try.
No,
at least
I'm
going to
get a knife and a gun and go kill the SOB.
Well,
that's
listen,
what I'm going to do.
All right.
Hold on. What are you saying? What are you saying, Matt LeBron, Mike?
What I was saying was. That whole argument, let's just stay away from that. It's not politically correct to talk that way. But let me tell you something about this. The troops were already there. We're waiting for the appropriate moment to use them. Let me give you some facts here. Remember I told you I did a lot of research on Iraq because of investments over there 3 years ago. The embassy
mm-hmm.
that's in Baghdad is the largest embassy in the world. Typically an embassy might be 150, 200 people, counting the drivers, the gardeners, and everybody. That embassy compound is big enough to house 15,000 people. When they moved the troops out, 8,000 of them were brought over there. If you check the United States budget, you will see a line item in the Department of State, the State Department. You will see a $2.5 billion slide over from the military budget to the State Department. That was for Hillary Clinton to hire mercenaries and privatize the military that's in that compound. Friends of mine who are over there, because I had them checking on various businesses and stuff, told me, they said it's a scream because it's so obvious what's going on. You have people in suits and ties, not wearing military uniforms, called embassy workers who shoulder M16s all day long and walk around with belts full of ammunition on them. They
mm-hmm.
are the military.
Decommissioned units.
Yeah. And they're over there. We have 8,000 of them right there in Baghdad.
So if we have 8,000 of them right there, if we have people there,
mm-hmm.
so tell
yeah.
me that if we have people that are there, why
yeah.
did it get as far as it has been?
Because when we
said we walked away,
because
they're waiting
got more
for
than
them to move against the embassy, and then
yeah.
we have the right to strike.
And Sticks, I do want to answer your question. How you negotiate with a person who wants to rape your wife? You neuter him first.
you have to take that.
That's
absolutely.
That's how you negotiate with somebody. When they have nothing that can hurt you, that's when you go by. So that's what we need to do in Iraq and Iran. We need to neuter them.
Interesting thing I'm seeing here. This says on June 14th of this year, that which was just the other day, that Iran sent 2,000 troops into Iraq to fight ISIS.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because they were enemies.
Yeah, and that's our enemy. So in this one, I don't know how big a blunder this is for Obama. And that's why I'm saying. I kind of want to, I'm not going to just attack him on everything just because I don't like his politics. He may have something here. But he can't afford to have something there with Iran coming into that country. Because don't forget, Iran wants Iraq. They want to control it.
Iran is already there, has been for 2 years since Sadr came back from Iran in exile where he was during the whole war effort and everything else over there. He came back and he told Maliki, I'll hold on. He has 100,000 trained militia that are under his command, and he got some concessions out of Maliki, and you can read it. They don't call it the Congressional Record. They call it the Gazette, and you can read it. And after they've resolved things and after a lot of wrangling and back and forth, when it finally becomes law through their three-step process, it appears in the Iraqi Gazette, and I've read translations of it. Maliki made major concessions to Sadr. Matter of fact, there's a city named after Sadr's tribe called Sadr City. And that's where the Chinese were invited in to build, I think it was 64,000 or 84,000 homes for the city and everything. He made a lot of concessions so Sadr would keep his Iranian-trained militia out of the mix politically. And there's all kinds of stuff in the newspapers over there and stuff. Like I say, I have quite a portfolio on this, just trying to figure out whether or not it made any sense for anyone to put any money into that country because their stock exchange, when they opened it, had some higher rates of returns than the U.S. stock exchange, but I still thought it was kind of risky because they're still shooting over there.
Well, most definitely. Most definitely. It's a war zone. And you have to, if you look at the history of the region, not going back too far, just going back last 7 years. When we invaded Iraq, the Iranians sent troops over to help Saddam Hussein. Okay? It's when those troops and those Iraqi or those Iranian fighters went back to Iran and said, hey, you know what, the American way isn't that bad. That's what sparked the uprising in Iran. Okay? So our failure to capitalize on that is the reason why we're in the trouble we're in today over there.
Something around your mic is unmuted.
Hey, guys, listen, there's something that we're missing here. These guys, this ISIS crew, they are very organized. They fight in military formation. Even though it's a little of them, they seem to be very organized in the way they attack. There's something more to this that makes me nervous. They're getting some backing from somewhere. And the old, to me, that old saying that the Islamists have, me and my brother against my cousin, but me and my cousin against the world, that sounds like to me you go into that place and you're going to get ambushed, especially with the type of foreign policy we've had.
Well, those Chinese people building those houses probably were ex-military, and they're probably the ones that trained them.
So I'm going to take a break. But is there anything good that can come out of this? Because right now the president doesn't seem to – he is very, very passive in his approach.
Yeah, he's already been neutered.
I don't I like I said, I hear you, but I don't know. I don't know on this. I I'm not an Obama liker in any way. But I'm looking at this situation a little bit different because of what I see Iran doing. And I know what Iran wants to do. I don't think – do we have 15,000 troops still sitting there in that embassy that are civilian troops?
The number was 8,000 that we were given today.
Okay, 8,000 of those troops.
Yes.
And they sent another 1,500. They sent 100 Army and 50 Marines over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to see what that does. Because I believe that 150 are command more than anything else, than just, you know, jackbooted thugs going over there to do whatever. This is a very serious. Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, you know as well as I do, you can't send a humanitarian aid team to fight a war. How are they going to let the military go in there and do what they need to do? If you're not, keep them home. This is a joke. You're sending them into a hornet's nest. They're going to be mowed down. They're going to be killed. The rules of engagements have been such that it has caused the military to be decimated. Restructure the rules of engagement and let them, anyone that shoots at you, shoot back.
Return fire. Yes, yes. Our troops over there have been neutered. I mean, they're fighting with one hand tied behind their back.
But they've been doing that. But they've been doing that since they got there. I mean, since the beginning,
that's not necessarily true.
The ROI under Barack Obama got way more stringent.
Yes.
I mean, it got to the point where they weren't allowed to carry open or loaded weapons.
Afghanistan too. That's why you have more people getting killed in Afghanistan up under Obama than Bush.
Why can't I carry a loaded weapon?
The problem with our whole country is we forgot what the purpose of war is. And the whole purpose of war is to break things and kill people.
We think we want
to have limited war, we want to have all this stuff. For example, when they were having trouble in Fallujah.
We wanted to fight nice.
And they had problems. The answer to that would have been dropping leaflets, circling the city with troops, dropping leaflets saying you've got 24 hours to walk out with whatever's on your back. We will check to make sure you're not bringing any weapons, and then brought in the 52s and turned it into powder. End of problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Mad Dog Mattis group. Mad Dog Mattis doctor.
And it doesn't...
No greater enemy, no better friend.
It doesn't matter what the enemy does either to shield themselves. Like, they were talking about these human shields that they're using, with their own citizens getting behind them. You know what? You break that down a couple times and just show that it doesn't stop them, you'll never see human shields again. They'll be running for their lives.
Well, you notice this stuff does not happen to Russia. Why? Because when you have Muslim extremists in Russia that take, for example, a school,
they'll go
or,
in
or a theater,
yep.
they just go in and kill everybody.
Yep.
Good, bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in there, you're dead.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, you know, there is a simple solution. I don't think anybody wants to do it, though. And that is, first, we keep them out of Baghdad with enough people on the ground, and we start causing civil unrest inside of Iran. And you can do this with money.
We
I
did
can
it before.
Pay, well, I'm talking about the extreme where, hey, you walk in there with a, you know, with a body bomb and your family's set for life. You know, how do you start dumping money that way? I start blowing things up.
Fight fire with fire.
You, I guarantee that's right. And I guarantee you, you'll see troops from Iran being pulled back.
You know what
that's
I would have done?
You create
every identified
representative. You,
go ahead.
You create as much chaos and ruthlessness inside that country, I guarantee you this crap will stop.
Right. Well,
nobody is,
saying,
everybody's afraid to do it.
Well,
I'll tell you what,
saying,
I put in a moment.
You do remember Saddam Hussein gave $10,000 to the parents of every suicide bomber?
Sure.
Do you recall
sure.
that? See, now I think what we need to do is every suicide bomber, we find out who it is, we need to go kill their parents.
Well,
you fight fire with fire.
But here's the thing, we have to look on our own soil. How long till we get our first exploding Mexican? If we go to this
when
Israeli,
that happens, we'll
if
we'll
go
worry
to
about
this
it.
Israeli state, if we go to this Israeli state, which is where we're headed, I don't want to say concentration camps, the refugee camps, how long until we start getting the same thing with Latinos that the Israelis have with the Palestinians?
We I'll be right
have
back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5210, and we'll be right back.
If your computer is running slow, go to MyCleanPC.com and get a free computer diagnosis. In minutes, you can activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk that may be slowing down your computer. Increase your computer speed today with MyCleanPC.com.
Hey,
ladies, how many pounds have you gained since turning 40? How many times have you stood in front of a mirror and thought, I really need to lose this weight? Well, if this sounds like
well,
you, please call
blind.
The Amberen hotline at 1-800-884-8146. At Amberen, we specialize in breakthrough solutions specifically tailored to women over 40, including hormonal balance, relief from menopausal symptoms, and, yes, effective weight loss. So if you are a woman over 40, call now for your 100% risk-free trial and start losing pounds. Call 800-884-8146. That's 800-884-8146.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I want you to join the conversation. It is open mic. We're talking about what's happening over in the Middle East because it happens to be the pressing news of the day. And, you know, sometimes but because we do not feel the effects of foreign policy on American soil, we sometimes
did we lose power?
Blow by it and don't pay attention to it. But this is a very, very pressing issue. And no matter how you feel about it, we need to have a conversation about it. We need to hear about it. We need to pay attention to it, and we need to be more informed. Eric, your mic is on. South Carolina, your mic is on as long as you don't start conducting business in the ear. 440, your mic is on. Diva, your mic's on, and so is yours. That's a blind mic. 269, if you want to jump in, you know, push one, and we'll bring you in.
I have a question for Jeff.
You came back in.
I'm on the move. That's why. I want to ask you a question.
I missed it. Go ahead. You say what you had to say because I missed it.
Okay. I'm on the move. That's why I had to hang up before. But
okay.
Anyway, I want to ask Jeff this question. If we, the United States, mirrored Iran's nuclear technology and put in and exploded, let's say, a half to a 1 kiloton bomb at a military site inside the country, that's not very big. What do you think that effect would be?
If inside of Chicago?
No, inside of Iran at a military installation. But it would look... the bomb would look and feel like one that they're developing. Get what I'm saying? So they couldn't fingerprint us to it.
It would look like an accident. That's what you're getting at, right?
Yes. Yes.
Or at least be able to be made that way.
Yeah. What do you think? You've got to be able to do it. I mean, you're talking about neutering them right there. That's believe. They got to send the message, and that would neuter them.
Can I take a survey, Tracy?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just curious. How many in the room and on the air believe that Iran, if they got a nuclear weapon, that they would not try and use it on us?
They want to use it on Israel. That's who they're going to use it on.
But saying...
You know what, South? The only thing that I can compare to is North Korea. And North Korea, granted, they've done missile drills to see how far they can deliver a nuclear warhead. They haven't yet unleashed a nuclear weapon on an enemy. So I'm really not sure who's crazier, Iran or North Korea.
Well, I think it's Iran because what you've got is you've got somebody that's nuts in North Korea, and he's giving everybody his butt to kiss. But with these guys, it's an ideology. It is a part of their religion to get rid of us. So they would use it. They would use it.
South, and nobody's understanding is that they are saying radical Islam says that they must create the Holocaust so that the third Imam can come back. Twelfth Imam,
yes.
Or third prophet can come back, and because that is what their religion says, and so when that happens, you know, you'll have this stuff going on. These guys, ISIS, just said, we intend to take over Iraq, Syria, and spread Sharia abroad and across the world. Understand, they mean what they say. This is not Jeff being against Muslims. This is Jeff repeating what the Muslims said that they want to do and what their aim and goal is. Understand that, please. Believe that, because they are not playing around. And while you got all these 50 million kids coming in here from Central America in a falsely created war that they're saying is going down in Central America and flooding these people into the United States, you have other people coming across that border too, where they can be more hidden while they do it, because you got all these kids coming over. Think about it, and think about what your president is allowing.
But does he really understand what's going on?
Yes, he understands it perfectly well. He's not stupid.
But this is not about being stupid. This is about being naive. Because, and let me say this, he's not a stupid man.
Not naive.
And he's not ignorant. But this man is very, very, he's very, very much of a novice.
We think he has people telling him what to do. Don't
now,
forget.
Don't get me wrong. Valerie Jarrett may know more.
Well,
but President Obama is very much of a novice. I mean, if you really look at his record and look at his history, he is not what you call very, very. He delivers speeches well, but as far as executing and planning and understanding all the players of the game and how it actually works, I'm not quite sure he's there.
But Tracy,
Wait a minute, hold on. What did you say?
Well, Valerie Jarrett told us when he was elected. He's just so intelligent, he's bored with the job already. That's the problem. He's just so much above this. That's what she said. What
did you say, Eric?
His whole administration has been peppered with scandals. I mean, look.
Wow.
How you got, they have lost all of Lois Lerner's emails for the past 2 years. Okay?
Well,
she had a computer crash. Anybody that's got enough sense to know that the emails are not on a computer, they're on the daggone server. So unless the server went completely down and they had a massive bomb to blow up in there, the emails are still there. This is getting worse and worse by the day. If the FBI came in and was investigating Jeff and they said, we need all your emails to your computer, Jeff goes home and takes an axe to it, they're still going to get those emails out of that hard drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Hold on. Eric, you're next, and then I've got a new caller coming in. What did you say, Eric?
This is crazy.
I was going to say, about as far as Obama's experience, he's the guy that gets put in after the story quarterback gets injured, and he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm sorry.
What is 438? Your mic is on.
Oh, boy, here we go again. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Stanley.
Oh, my God, you people. anyway.
Now that was a good defense.
Let's go first to the thing that everybody's freaking out and saying, oh, if Iran has a nuclear bomb, they're going to do crazy things. People, let's be honest. We're the one who's done the crazy thing when we had nuclear bombs. We're the only country who dropped a nuclear bomb. Wait. No, wait. That's the truth. We're the only country around the world that's dropped a nuclear bomb to stop a war. So let's stop pretending that the rest of the world is going to do crazy things when we're the one who's done that.
Well, Stanley, I'm unapologetic of that. You're right. We did.
Okay, we're not apologetic of that. I understand you're not apologetic of that, but stop acting, all of you, like, oh, my God, if they get a nuclear bomb, they're going to do crazy things when we can't even look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, we're the only country who's done that.
One at a time. Let's Stanley get it out. Hold on, South Carolina. Okay. Get it out, Stanley.
Second of all, Obama is not a warmonger like a lot of you guys are trying to say. Like, oh, he should go to war. He should do this. He's not built that way. We didn't elect a person like that. George Bush was like that. George Sr. was like that. We don't want that anymore in America.
Clinton was like
we don't want to be the police of the world. We don't want to be the people who are basically going to come and every time say, okay, we're going to drop bombs and kill innocent people and justify it because we're American. We have the right to do that. We don't want to be the country of basically saying that we have the right to stay 20, 30, 40, or 50 years
yes, we do,
in a country because we feel like it because we're American.
Hold on, Eric. Hold on, y'all.
I'm sorry. All this thing that you're talking about, like Ron Paul said, and I agree with him in his liberal view, is we should bring all those army back up and bring it back to the United States and take care of our own.
Okay, are you done yet, Stanley?
And if they ask help, try to find the best way to do it strategically instead of trying always to invade them, trying to leave our troops, trying to do this, trying to provoke them, and we don't even see their point of view. We're always talking about our point of view, but we never sit down with one of them and say, you know what, why do you hate us? Why do you want to do this? We never do that. We never understood 9/11, ever. That's
you
the problem
did not understand. Hold on. So, Stanley, can you explain to us 9/11 before I go and let everybody in?
9/11 was basically like the ex-pastor of Obama said. When you start hitting other countries and being responsible for things in the past, let's go through whole history of CIA, let's go through whole history of many things we've done. And yes, maybe as America we didn't know we'd done it, but we were responsible for it. Do not be surprised that it comes back in your face. Because if you know history, you wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people around the world would say, you're lucky you just had 9/11. You should have had 10 times 9/11 in America.
Stanley, hold on. So wait a minute. So now I got to let some other folks in. Let's start with Matt. I saw your hand was raised, Matt.
My hand is raised quietly, and I have a couple questions for Stanley.
Okay, this is between Stanley and Matt, y'all. Go ahead, Matt.
He's right. The United States is the only country that has used in aggression a nuclear weapon against an adversary. Now, I need to ask Stan, does that make the United States evil? I have two questions. Does that make the United States evil for doing that?
Well, in my eyes and everything, that the way that we went in and the way that was justified of doing it wasn't right. But that's history to say. Some people said it was right to do because we needed to do, like I heard from Jeff and other people, that we needed to do it to stop the war, and I don't agree with that. Fine, Jeff. I'm not going to put your name. But I've heard from other people that said we needed to do that, Stanley, to stop the war. If we would have not done that, we would have sacrificed a lot of our troops, but it doesn't justify killing millions of innocent people for a nuclear bomb. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Matt. Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. So are you aware, Stanley... now, the United States looked evil because of that. So let's look at the people who funded and developed the bomb, and then let's look at the person who actually gave the order to drop it. What political affiliation did they belong to?
I'm sure you're going to tell me Democrat.
They were. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a Democrat, and so was Harry S. Truman. They were both Democrats. So if America's evil for doing that, what does that make the actual people that gave the order.
It was wrong for them to do it. I'm not going to justify it. It was wrong. In
okay,
my eyes, it was wrong. In my eyes, don't forget that during that time, that it wasn't Roosevelt who dropped the bomb, and it was the person that replaced him because he was trying for his fourth mandate and he couldn't go through it. That's the guy after that replaced him that was basically saying that we need to drop the bomb.
You're right, but when it came to Roosevelt,
because
he was
Roosevelt
the one...
never said I wanted to drop the bomb. He was not
okay.
thinking about that. He was not.
Hold
he
on.
Was the guy who replaced him when he was going to Fourth Amendment that to happen and everything. And that guy who replaced him said we
Stanley,
need to drop
Stanley,
the bomb,
Stanley,
even though.
Stanley,
go ahead.
Let me hold up, breathe. I need to let some other folks in. That's going to be rough. Go ahead, Dix.
Well, for one thing, that was Harry S. Truman who went to the presidency. Because Franklin Delano Roosevelt died in office. But when
Thank
now,
you.
Stanley, I want to ask you this because I want to understand your mindset. When a country declares war on another country with a first strike, does
mm-hmm.
the country that made the first strike, does that automatically subject the citizens of that nation to unrestricted warfare from the country that they put warfare against? They put war against.
Are you coming with the example of Iraq? Which example?
No,
you
I'm calling. No. This is a rule of law. I'm asking
okay.
you, any country, because you said we
mm-hmm.
you said that we had no right to kill millions of innocent people with the bomb. But,
yes.
But who attacked the United States first?
Japan is attacking the United States by the Pearl Harbor. That's
oh,
what you're
no, there is no buts. There can be no buts to this.
Okay, okay, okay.
This is a matter
happened.
Of international
but,
law.
But, wait,
so
that
you,
happened.
You, no, Stanley, stop, please, and I will let you finish. So if you attack me,
mm-hmm.
I have a right to declare unrestricted war on you, which includes your civilian population.
No,
is that
I don't
true
agree
or
with
is that,
that
not
because
true?
Because I do not agree with that because Japan was basically doing a strategy to basically kill our military. Japan didn't come and say, you know what, we're going to go all the way to Los Angeles or Chicago
yes,
or those, and we're going to bomb them.
They did, Stanley.
Japan did strategically. Go ahead.
Stanley, they attacked the Aleutian Islands. They also attacked the Aleutian Islands. I can find pictures on
okay.
Pictures of the shot down aircraft. They also put mm-hmm. balloons with incendiary devices on them to attempt to start large wildfires in California. Also, the Germans, if you look at the devastation that the Germans caused on England and the retaliation of Dresden, have you seen the pictures of Dresden?
No, I haven't. You're
you
going with,
look,
but the reason. Wait, wait.
You,
but the reason.
You refuse to understand.
But the reason of
there
America.
Is no
buts. Okay, go
there
ahead.
There can be no buts. When a nation declares
no,
unrestricted
it's not a question
war,
of buts because
hold on,
I'm
wait, Stanley, let him finish.
Stanley, you are absolutely right. The Iraqi opposition had every right to defend themselves in any way, shape, or form they saw necessary, and we also because we declared war first there. Had the obligation to pound them into powder. That is war. And until you understand what a war is, the total
wow.
war is purpose of breaking things and killing people. And I hate to say it, but there are no civilians in a war.
No, Mamby, and we're very, very mamby-pamby in our war. Hold
wow.
on, Stanley. Hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, my point, Stanley, is they attacked us. And we had a war going also in Europe with Germany. We're not going to sit around here peeing around with you attacking me on my skirts from the left while I'm over here in the right as well trying to stop with the rest of the world a dictator called Adolf Hitler who was murdering people by the hundreds of thousands and millions.
Wait, go ahead.
Stanley, let Jeff finish.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
So now you're off with this oh we shouldn't have killed millions of people. The millions of people should have rose up against their government and said don't do this, but they weren't because those millions of people could have stopped their government from acting a fool and attacking the United States and you see what happened. And not only that, they didn't stop after the first bomb was dropped. They didn't stop after
okay.
the first one was dropped. They didn't stop till that second one hit.
And then they started negotiating and surrendering. So my point to you is, my friend, this is a cold world, and people don't think like you. They don't have the comfort of the United States like you do.
Wow.
They don't have the comfort of a lot of money and safety like you do. These
wow.
people are really, really hellish people. And when you look into what they believe, then you'll understand. But you don't, because you don't believe nothing. Thank you.
Okay. Oh. Can I come back to what she's saying, Tracy?
Sure, you certainly may. And then make it quick, because I've got to go to break in
a few
minutes.
Okay, Jeff, let me ask you a question, since you're so much history. During the time of Hitler and everything, who was supporting the time that the Jewish were getting killed?
Oh, the United States was.
No. Like you are saying, answer the question. Who was supporting the time that the Jewish was getting killed?
Make your point, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Who was the company that was supporting them during that time?
The company?
That was supporting supporting
that was a big
Jews
company. IBM was responsible for supporting during the time that Hitler was getting killed. You know that?
Explain to me how international business machines.
No. It's not
anything to
do with international.
Stop,
it was
Stanley.
A time.
Stanley,
IBM
I'm
wasn't international.
Stanley,
it was done.
Stanley,
it was proven
Stanley,
that
Stanley,
IBM.
Hold on. Stanley, ask the question. I've got
to
take a break.
The name of IBM is International Business Machines. Explain to me what International Business Machines had to do with the concentration camps and the Holocaust when we come back.
Because when it came to the list and everything, that they have to go to the list of getting the Jew and everything, they needed to have a system to go through all the same. IBM supported that and basically helped them to have that list. That's the reason. There's a book that calls back IBM and the Holocaust. There's a book that says that. During that time, because you're all acting American like we were over against Hitler, many people in the politics were trying to do a debate here in the United States and telling a lot of people Hitler is a great savior. We should support him and things like that. And many politicians was even trying to do that. Before the Pearl Harbor, there was even a time that people were saying, you know what, let them do whatever they need to do. We shouldn't interfere. Remember
right.
that time before the Pearl Harbor happened?
Just like you are today, Stanley.
I'm going to the past because everybody's forget about that part of history. Everyone wants to say, oh, wait, since Pearl Harbor. Before Pearl Harbor, every American was saying, we shouldn't interfere. There's no reason to interfere. We're not here to liberate and blah, 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 blah. If you go through the history, it tells you exactly how American was. The only reason it changes because of the Pearl Harbor action that happened and everything, and then when our president basically said a speech that we need to defend ourselves, do something. But before that, when you're all acting like, oh, we were against the Hitler thing, no, you weren't.
The country wanted to stay out of the European war. That's a
Thank
fact.
You.
You're right. Hang on. Charles
yeah.
Lindbergh was a big supporter of Hitler based upon the 1936 Olympics when he went over there and saw how organized the country was and all the building and infrastructure projects Hitler was doing. A lot of people admired Hitler because of his ability to get stuff done. You know, like we can't get nothing done in this country these days. So people were admiring it. And, of course, over here we were still in the Depression. And what it, you know, and when I was younger, I'm 18 years old, I traveled to Europe and I went around and I met older people that thought Mussolini was great and it was great because that's when the libraries got built, that's when the schools got built, that's when the power generation got moved into homes, so they had electricity, so they saw the good of that, but they didn't like the fascism, and when it finally came, these people did oppose it. Here in this country, when we were attacked, trumped up or not, it did change the American public's opinion about getting into the war. Up until then, 70% of the American public, when polled, preferred isolationism. Europe's war was Europe's war. They had already fought one in World War I, and they were not up for fighting another one. Roosevelt and Churchill were old Navy buds. They were both served in the navies. They had a common ground. And we were supplying England, and we were having, and the Germans were sinking our ships also, our merchant ships, The first one they thanked, they apologized, said it was an accident. We accepted that. Then and pretty much after that, it became pretty regular that convoys were being sunk. We had oil vessels right off our own coast here, and if anybody wants to check this out, because I'm not making this up, didn't get it off the Internet, we have a number of oil tankers sunk in the Gulf and along the coast of Florida and Georgia. You can go and see those wrecks. They're listed clearly on the maritime maps for divers and stuff to go out to. The Germans had U-boats here, and they were sinking our oil tankers and our merchant ships right here off our shores prior to us even entering World War II. Those are all facts. But the American
and those are all the facts, and thank you for telling the people this, because it's all the fact that everybody's, like, forgetting and acting like, oh, we didn't do those things. Yes,
but
you
Stanley,
did.
Today we still have, there's people in this country who think the Muslims are right, that we should stay out of the war, all the same sentiment. It's just history repeating itself 60 years, 70 years later. That's all it is. If we are attacked again, it will unite our country, and then who's ever in power at that time, be it this president or Hillary or whoever's next, wants to go to war, the public will get behind him again once we're attacked again. That's pretty much the history, the way the pendulum swings and has swung in this country for 200 years.
Here's the thing that I'm not feeling with Stanley.
It seems that Stanley doesn't have a good grasp on what war really is and things that you have to do in wartime. You know, back in it was the early, before the World War, before World War One of Battle of World War One, there was a general by the name of Black Jack Pershing, and they were down in the Philippines and they were getting attacked by these Muslim extremists, and it became a big problem for Pershing. So he crafted a plan. What he did was he collected 50 of these Muslim extremists. He lined them up for a firing squad. They brought out pigs, and they slaughtered the pigs in front of these guys. Okay, they dipped their rounds into the pig's blood. Okay, and they covered the guys with blood. They shot 49 of them. Covered their bodies with pigs, entrails, and everything else. Put them in a hole. Covered them up. They let the 50th guy go, okay? There were no attacks for 40-some-odd years because of that. Now, that was an extreme thing you had to do, but it solved the problem. It stopped them from being attacked, okay? In World War II, you say millions of people got killed because of the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The number is closer to 200,000, family. That's the real number, even after all the fallout and everything else. It wasn't a million, but it was a thing that was necessary in war.
No, it wasn't. It was not necessary.
Stanley, you need to go and take a look.
Let me finish,
Stanley. 100,000 versus 1 million American lives alone. Not to mention all the lives that would have been lost on the Japanese.
Okay. You got to understand, a lot of history people will tell you it was not necessary. Japan was about to basically quit. The only reason that they were not quitting right now, there was basically one thing. They didn't want their emperor to feel ashamed. They asked America, if we're going to quit and things like that and surrender, please do it in another way that we don't want our emperor to basically be focused on. And Americans had a problem with that.
You've been watching too many movies.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not a thing of movie. A lot of history people would
works.
Tell you, we didn't need to drop a nuclear bomb.
Stanley, that's not how war works.
Yes, it was.
The emperor's feelings are irrelevant
okay.
to us.
Okay, if I
you're
prove you different and I show you the document that told you this, what are you going to say? I could show you tomorrow
the document
that shows you different. What are you going to say?
What
I
is this
are you going to say that you know more than the people who are over there who know those things that happened?
What does it matter?
The document.
What does it matter?
It doesn't matter, Stanley. We don't care about the
So it doesn't
field.
Matter. So I can bring you any facts and everything, and you would
no,
be open about
feelings,
it and say we're wrong.
You see,
that's the problem
the
as Americans. You always think
war,
that you're
Stanley.
Right. You always
we,
we were wrong. It was wrong
nation,
for us
we don't
to do
care.
That. It was wrong, period. It was
we
wrong.
We don't care.
It was wrong. It was wrong.
It was wrong.
I don't care. It was wrong. It was wrong.
It was wrong to expect
Stanley.
You don't punch me in the face and tell me how I can respond back. It doesn't work that way. If you punch me, I'm going to stab you, period.
No. Wait, you didn't punch him and everything?
Exactly.
It was wrong. It was wrong, period. I don't care. It was wrong. It was wrong, period. It was wrong. I don't care if it's another country doing it. It was wrong. It was wrong. If we don't even know right from wrong, we have a problem. It was wrong.
Pearl Harbor was a punch in the face.
The Japanese
Pearl Harbor was a punch in the face, but dropping a nuclear bomb in another village is justifiable? Really?
So we were firebombing cities, and far more people were dying from the firebombing. The only difference was it wasn't one plane. It was 1,000 planes at a time, okay? Stanley, it's generally accepted from military historians and political historians, the Japanese were mounting for a major defense of their homeland. It was going to whip them up just like we were when we got attacked at 9/11. They were talking 2 million dead Japanese from the firebombing was potential. Based upon the evidence of the last few islands they went to attack, where they had to kill 90 to 100,000 Japanese soldiers who were holding a little rock because the closer we got to Okinawa, which is considered Japanese mainland, basically, we could just see that it was mounting. It would have been 1 million dead Americans and 2 million dead Japanese to finally bring the war to end. The argument was over whether or not the surrender was going to be unconditional.
Are you telling me as a history there was not a better way we could have done that?
I don't agree with you.
Are you saying that it's okay for America to use nuclear weapons, atomic bombs, in a time of war, but it's not okay for any other country to develop?
It was okay for the Germans to use mustard gas and the British to use it during World War I until we saw what it did. It was outlawed in the world community. Crossbow was eventually outlawed because of the way it tore through bodies. Cannonballs were eventually outlawed. Certain types of cannonballs were outlawed. When we understand the new advancement in military technology, we then as a world community say this is wrong and can never happen again. So it's not about nuclear weapons. It's just the way history handles advances in killing.
Yeah. Super thin. Weapons of mass destruction shouldn't be built during war.
It's like you're acting like what happened in Vietnam War when Nixon decided to bomb all these villages, it was justified.
Stanley, someday some country will perfect a delivery system for germ warfare. When the world sees how devastating that is, the world that can survive, stand up and say never again. That's how it works.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Like
how do you guys talk through the music?
Well, we thought that was background music like they do on the TV shows. Just enhance the dialogue.
Jeez, oh man. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Hey, did you guys know that Putin has cut off the oil to Ukraine?
Yeah, I knew
gas
that.
Gas is the oil.
We told you it was going to happen.
They didn't pay their bill.
They didn't pay their bill.
Remember we were saying that
when
he went in, just before he went in?
Yeah, he shut off the natural gas because they didn't pay their bill, but he made it so they couldn't pay their bill because he invaded the industrial heartland of their nation, or he didn't invade it. He just got the industrial heartland of their nation to break away from the main part of the nation, so they couldn't pay the bill. And, of course, he also managed to figure out a way to keep out the Western oil companies from coming in and hydraulic fracturing to stop any competition from Ukraine itself with their own natural resources.
Right.
Genius.
He shut them off for not paying the bill, and we think he's a communist. Boy, he's a capitalist, free market guy, isn't he?
I have a question.
Yeah, Diva.
Earlier it was mentioned that we need to deal with Iraq because of we're in a global economy, and if we don't do something, then gas will go up to $7 a gallon. But you would think to strengthen the argument of those who want to move more towards different types of energy. That way, if we're not that dependent on oil, then this wouldn't be an issue. We wouldn't have to go to war for oil, essentially.
Agreed.
Well, Diva, we don't have to go to war for oil because if the current administration would unshackle the energy producers in the United States of America, first of all. The second thing is there is no alternative energy technology available today that can come anywhere close to providing the number of BTU, British thermal units, it takes to operate an economy the size of the United States of America. It takes, depending upon you, who you listen to, between 60 and 75 acres of land to produce 1 megawatt of electricity with wind. To put that into perspective, the one power plant, the Samus plant, down on the river would take a land area half the size of Mahoning County just to replace that one power plant. It just it cannot work. And to make the energy costs what it would take to make it economically feasible, you would have to have $1,000 a month electric bills in every house in the United States. What would that do to our economy?
I'm not buying your argument, but okay.
Answer to the question.
I'm just saying, I'm just not buying his argument. There's no point in me answering the question.
No.
I'm not buying his argument.
Tell me why. Tell me why you don't buy my argument.
If this renewable energy was so much profitable and so much better, then it would have already been here.
Let Diva answer the question. I asked her because she said she didn't buy my argument, and I want to know why, because that is a tool of the left. They just say, I don't believe it, and walk away. Why don't you believe it, Diva?
Oh, there it is.
You get no answer.
In South Carolina, where I live, the wind is so poor here, even though I'm near the coast, the wind is so poor here that on a 25-kilowatt windmill, my payback would be 326 years to break even. And during those 326 years, there's no money in there for maintenance. That's just kilowatt exchange of what I pay now versus what it would cost. That would be no hurricane damage, no repairs on it, nothing. It would have to last 326 years, perform flawlessly just to break even on what it would cost me to put up a simple $26,000 generator with a $20,000 tower. 45 grand, it would take me 326 years to break even against what it would produce.
Yeah, it's not feasible, guys. I mean, look, if you can watch your favorite TV show on your phone, then there's no reason, if that technology was possible, it'd already be out there. I mean, that's the end of the argument.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Here's my problem with everybody calling me out on this, on these renewable energy sources and such. Look, I'm all for it. If we could get solar to work right, if we could get wind to work right, I'm good. I would love to see that. But the things that Styx just pointed out are absolutely true. We're not even close to being able to replace in any way without crippling our energy grid, without crippling our economy. Without crippling all these things, we're in no position right now to make the switch from fossil fuels to this renewable energy. Now, am I saying stop? Am I saying stop? With the advancement of science and technology and trying to figure out? No, but I'm saying stop pushing it.
There's something called convergence, and that's when you use all of your resources to build, you know, what you need to do. And what's happening is they are the EPA, if I'm not mistaken, and someone else can correct me. What's happening is they are binding the hands of the research so that you can't try to work on converging all of the energy sources into one. So they don't want you to use nuclear. They don't want you to use coal. They only want you to use what they have a personal and or a financial interest in.
Right. They have decided that they're going to pick winners and losers. And they've shackled the hands of anybody who thinks outside of the box.
Because there's no money
in it.
And
you have to remember, when Julius Vanderbilt built his mansion in Tennessee, he ran both gas for gas lights and electricity for electric lights, because at that time he was not sure what was going to be the winning light source. And we have to understand there's always a transition period between old technology and new technology. I mean, I'm really excited if we could figure out a way to get around the corrosion problem, putting turbines in the Gulf Stream. I mean, that excites me, and I'm a fossil fuel guy. I'm a traditional fuel guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a 6-knot slightly off the coast of Florida. You've got a 6 or 8-knot current running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if we can figure out how to get around the corrosion problem from the salt water, you've got an unlimited supply of electricity down there.
Can I ask a question for those of you who are brighter than me? It looks as though the rebels are seizing a city a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. They'll take Baghdad before this is all over.
If we allow that to happen.
And you have to understand, Tracy, they have $400 million under their belts, too. They can buy soldiers at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Cheaply, but, actually. They have $400 million that they got the first day that they took over to Crete, was it? Or was it Mosul? I can't remember what they took over, that they were where the $400 million was in the central bank there. But there's much, much more money rolling around Iraq. And see, the reason why, you know, I like when people from the left get stymied because they can't go anywhere else. They disagree with you because you are not a liberal. They don't disagree with you because you're not telling the truth. Because they could care less whether you're telling the truth or not.
Well, that's not true. I mean, everybody has a fundamental belief and or ignorance of what's in front of them. No, they do, because I talk to people, and they're much brighter and knowledgeable, but their fundamental belief of what they hear, because you remember people are indoctrinated, and the statistical facts can be moved either way, left or right, based upon who's telling who what, because we see that happen. And people actually believe that we ought to, you know, quit policing the world, come home, it's all our fault, lick our wounds, and let them kill each other, and it won't affect us in the long run. And really don't care if it comes back to bite us in the butt later on, because they're not thinking about tomorrow as long as their today is taken care of.
And just to answer, somebody said that
what'd they say?
We're violating the natural rights of the Iraqis and Arabs in general to be masters of their own land and destiny. That's what Alex was saying. Now, I'll say this to Alex. The people do not want that. They want to stay westernized like they were when Saddam was in power, because they enjoyed that freedom that they had. It is the military complex, and now these fringe group radicals that have denied the Iraqi people their rights, because they want to come in there. And they notice they put Sharia law in place immediately, and when they put that in, the women can't go to school. The women have to dress up, and they cannot come out the house without a man accompanying them. These people aren't used to that.
But can I ask you this? In Saudi Arabia, if it's my understanding, that's how they live there. And those are IS boom coons. If I'm not mistaken, Saudi Arabia has those kinds of laws.
That's who Kissinger made the agreement with to originally start, or that's where he did it from, I should say, to start OPEC.
Okay, so we know that, you know, they're in. We have this relationship with countries. So why can't we just let Iraq just do what Saudi Arabia does? If they want to do Sharia law, then do Sharia. And if they want to do, you know, wacky Western, they can do wacky Western. Because right now, America should really shut up about anybody doing anything, because really, our skirt tails are really ugly.
Yeah, and Tracy, the problem I have with Jeff, what he just said, is he make it sound like during the time that Saddam Hussein was doing that, you don't think a lot of Iraqi would tell you personally, we were happy when he was there.
No,
we
that's
were
not true.
Happy. Oh, some would. Some would.
Well, some
compared to all that happened
Stanley,
after?
Some would. Some would, a lot wouldn't. Because remember what happened over in Egypt with Mubarak. And let's go to Gaddafi. I mean, if you look at what's happened in the last 6 years, 8 years.
6 years.
I mean, you have to realize the whole upset of the Middle Eastern world has been turned on its ear based upon America's.
Yeah,
so
but
we say
be,
that we
before,
say.
Be,
because, see, the problem is, what America has been doing, and this is just my analogy, America throws rocks and then hides their hand when it comes to owning up to what they've done.
Exactly.
You know, everybody
the
does.
The consequence.
I mean,
yeah, but see, we're leader of the free world, so we go in there and we start a fire, and I get you to start fighting each other, and I start putting people in place, and then I find out the person that I put in there was crazier than the one that I had there. So I actually create a fire and then go in there to try to put the fire out. And right now, the fire that's over in the Middle East, it started with a spark, but now it's going into a full-blown bomb. And we have to say, the reason why it's the way that it is, we have a lot to do with it. And
thank
I'm not
you.
Talking about just Obama. I'm not talking about just Bush. I'm going all the way back.
Yeah, because these are very tribalistic areas. And, you know, you have to govern those regions accordingly. And the thing is, Mubarak, Gaddafi, even Saddam, they understood that, and they did it effectively.
Yes. They did until they decided they wanted to do something different that America did not like. And when America turned against them, and then they went into their own. Because if I'm not mistaken, America put all these guys in leadership.
Exactly. And America was there when basically Saddam Hussein was doing all this crazy thing, and America's acting like, oh, we didn't know. Yes, you did. He was killing his own people, and we didn't interfere at all. Rumsfeld was there shaking his hand at Saddam Hussein saying, continue to do what you need to do. Please.
All these guys we put, I mean, we gave them the firepower, whatever was necessary, including Osama bin Laden.
Exactly, because we wanted to stop him from invading Russia, invading Afghanistan. And
hold on, Stanley.
Hold
on. I got other folks on here. Go ahead, South Carolina.
I mean, I know you've heard, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, you've got, Saddam was in power.
Right.
But he was also fighting Iran. He was also fighting Iran, okay? Then you have
right.
people like Idi Amin. He was a nice guy at one point, but then he turned into a corrupt leader. You know, you got other guys like Mugabe. They were nice guys, but they turned into evil leaders. Pinochet, they were nice guys, but they all turned into evil leaders. Even down to Ferdinand Marcos, he was a nice guy, but he turned into an evil, bad leader.
Let's look at this. We tend to put these good bad. We put good people in to turn bad. I mean, we really have a pattern of this. Who have we put in power
okay,
that hasn't turned bad?
What Tracy is Barack Obama. Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah. We have politicians.
We put Barack Obama and he hasn't turned bad. Is that what I heard?
He has turned bad. No, he has turned bad.
Okay, who turned bad? Well, my question was, who have we put in power who has not turned bad?
Wait a minute.
I'm not going to even entertain what he said because it had to be a misspeak. The question is,
who have we put
in power that has not turned bad?
Pope Francis.
Pope Francis the who?
Pope Francis, oh boy, don't let me start. I'm going to leave that alone.
Please do, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
So the only one that we put in power is Pope Francis.
Is who we had to put in power. There's a big difference between the people who achieve power and the people who have to be put in power by a bigger power. That's where
but the question is,
right
who have we put in power who has not turned into a sour grape?
Jimmy Carter. He left as a nice guy, never having made a tough decision.
Yeah.
The peanut man, he's still building houses today.
Pardon? Yeah.
Habitat for Humanity is still building houses today. So he is the only one that we have put in power that didn't turn bad? Six?
No.
Ooh. Ronnie Reagan?
I mean, that didn't have negative public perception?
No.
Did you say Jimmy Carter?
I mean, turn
Gerald
bad
Ford.
At...
Gerald Ford,
yeah, he was always a nice guy.
Gerald
got hit
Ford
with a couple of
changed.
Golf balls in the head, and that was it. He was done. His friend.
Jimmy Carter was bad from the beginning. Bro,
no.
I was talking about foreign.
They went to domestic.
Oh,
I was talking about foreign.
Okay, I apologize.
They kept on bringing in Jimmy Carter and these other guys. I'm talking about foreign policy. Because we put these people in power.
You know what? I got to disagree with Jeff
Duvalier.
For a second. Let me disagree with Jeff for a second. Jimmy Carter was not an evil man when he was president. His policies were just completely screwed up, and they were screwed up from the beginning. I actually think that he was a nice guy. I always liked Jimmy Carter, the person. I don't think that changed in any way, shape, or form. He was an idiot.
Yeah, I agree. He had the best intentions.
So my question is, who did we put – foreign policy – who have we put in the Middle East that didn't turn bad? Because we put them all in.
Actually, Mubarak was not bad. And who was Egypt's guy?
Gaddafi?
No, Egypt.
Egypt.
That was Mubarak. I mean, who's the guy that's still in Syria now?
The guy in Syria, that's let's see his face, Kent.
Assad.
Bashar Assad. We're going to get rid of him.
You know, no,
this guy's going to get rid of him.
These people are going to get rid of him.
So wait a minute, hold on. So if Mubarak was not bad and we put him in, when Mubarak got in trouble, why did we not defend him?
Because you had this president. This president has turned his back on Israel. This president has given the Middle East to the radical Islam.
Back on Jordan.
Plus, you have to understand, he's a community organizer, so he loves to see people in the streets rallying.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he thinks all these people showing up in the streets now in Iraq, that's just a block party.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Trey.
I'm serious. I believe that. That's what you have when you have a guy with a community organizer mindset.
Yeah.
He thinks that it's a block party down in there in Egypt.
Yeah, it's a block party.
It's like the song "Celebration" from Kool and the Gang.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big ass international block party. So everybody's only waiting. The only reason the crowd gets ugly is because the fried chicken didn't arrive fast enough, and you know, there's no beer, and you know, it's like, hey man, we came for the eats. You know?
Yeah.
You just right, Mike. You got to quit making those racist statements now.
What racist statement? What did I say? Did I say something?
I'm just chastising you before you do.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't realize you said anything racist. You know me better.
Yeah, but you look over. You look at Egypt and Libya. You see them. They're celebrating the streets, but he doesn't seem to see the machine guns they're carrying. You know.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy with that one.
Yeah.
Is she on break?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm right out here.
I'm not paying
y'all no mind, really. That is sad. I'm sorry.
Diva, tell me something. What do you think happened to the emails?
What do you mean, what happened to the heat? They had a cold spell come through.
No, what happened to Laura Schlerner emails?
Huh?
What happened to all the emails from Laura Schlerner?
What are you talking about?
They have lost all of Laura Schlerner's emails.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, people.
Yeah.
Cover up.
I like that. I'm going to have to use that myself there.
That's obvious. I was like,
Well,
they
had to make sure they erased the email where Lois Lerner asked Rosemary Woods how she deleted Nixon's 18 minutes when she used to work for Nixon. See, that was the damning email right there. So when she got that instruction directly from Rosemary Woods how to delete stuff in the presidential office, she then went to work.
I'm like, who loses emails? How you lose emails?
There's federal law that if you're a publicly traded corporation, all your emails have to be archived and saved. And that's where they find all these things. Like now they're going after General Motors, and they can see all the emails about the faulty switch going back 10 years. You mean the IRS does not have redundancy? Well, first of all, I happen to know that they do. They have a 7-layer redundancy. That's why it's so hard when the IRS puts a lien on you. That's why it's so hard to get it off your credit report even after you've paid it or proven that it was wrong, because the IRS doesn't even trust its own people. It takes 7 separate people with 7 separate code IDs to get in and erase your files from the entire system. So that's the way the IRS works. And so the fact that her emails are just mysteriously gone for 2 years, just hers, I doubt it. This is like, come on. Do we really all look that stupid on the other side of the teleprompter?
Yeah. I don't know how they do it. Those spokesmen and spokeswomen.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to rename Meet the Press to Meet the Depressed. I mean, come on. Yeah, this is... Even the Democrats aren't buying this one. You know, God love them.
Come on, man. I mean,
you have gone too far when your biggest supporters just look at you and go, "You have got to be kidding."
When your biggest supporters, who are the people that do nothing but make up the lies in the first place, don't agree with you, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, if you were to pull that. Where do you think you'd be? No more.
Oh, I know where I'd be.
Well, yeah. Why are you good
for?
Absolutely. Yeah. What are you good for?
Absolutely.
Hell again, y'all.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And we're ending up the beginning of a week. Today is Monday, and it is 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I got Chip and Jeff in here. And we were talking about the Middle East. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about gender intelligence. So you know who wins on that one.
I have you know what I got for Father's Day?
What did you get?
Win one argument, free card.
Well, and that came from your daughter, right?
No. My daughter was right on point. You can't win with a wife. Don't you understand that?
Maybe you can't win with a wife.
You can't win.
Hey,
it's
Jeff,
a losing proposition for the man.
What are you talking about?
That's why the Bible tells you to leave your mother and father. Your family is over when you get married and cleave unto your wife. Because that's the only thing you're going to be able to do for the rest of your life.
Hey, Jeff, along with that card.
That is not true.
It is true. What else are you going to do? Nothing. It's over. Everything else is over.
That's not true.
You tell me why it ain't.
I don't know. I ain't married.
I'm watching the news. It's Senate hearings investigating a fat cat from Wall Street. He's been subpoenaed, and his defense now, he won't answer any questions. He said, "I invoke my Fifth Amendment right or LDD, whichever gives me the greatest protection." A senator just said, "What's LDD?" He says, "Learn or delete defense." And that gives him greater protection than the Fifth Amendment, according to the senator. Holy smokes. How about that?
I heard over the weekend that Harry Reid is not only blocking Republican legislation, Harry Reid is blocking Democrat legislation. Anything that comes through the Senate, Harry Reid is putting on squash.
Yep. Because the narrative in November is going to be, we can get nothing done because of the stinking Republicans in the House.
So,
that's what the narrative is going to be, because most of the Americans are dumb butts and don't know that both houses have to pass a piece of legislation and approve it. So you can blame it all on Boehner. And most Americans accept it.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. I heard it on MSNBC, if you can believe that.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'm saying that's why I heard it. I heard it on MSNBC.
Okay, President.
I don't see them as credible. After all, they're the ones that had to fire Jay Leno three times to finally get him off the air.
Did you see that the cable news network poll? Not poll, but by Nielsen ratings?
No. Who watches what? Nobody watches.
Fox? Oh no, Fox gets 25%.
Yeah.
Network news is 23% of the viewership of news.
Right.
Okay. Then it goes all the way down to MSNBC. I mean, you have others in between, but those are the two top hitters right there. Everybody else is in the low teens and below. And then
CNN.
CNN is down there like in fourth or fifth, okay, place. And MSNBC, absolutely 5%. Of the people watching.
Wow.
Nobody's watching MSNBC.
Let me say this. This is the problem that I find with that poll.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you watch, because you may not be watching it, but it's what you listen to.
Well, the network news is the same thing, but you know, they just do it a little more seriously, and so they have more credible-looking people giving the news, so people watch them and believe it.
I'm saying, when you look at when I go into a doctor's office, very seldom do I see Fox News on.
Of course you don't.
So so that's only one TV.
Uh-huh.
But there are seven people sitting in there with dead space. So they don't watch news at home.
Uh-huh.
They don't watch. They don't listen to talk radio in the car.
Uh-huh.
But they go into these public arenas, and you find that they're getting sound bites from CNN and MSNBC. I very seldom ever see Fox News on.
My doctor's office runs The Price is Right and Dr. Phil in the mornings that I've been in there.
And
I don't
so
know
when
what
you
the
look,
two have to do.
So when you look at what they watch or what they don't watch, they're getting the information that they are getting can be somewhat flawed.
Somewhat.
What's wrong
with
my
being politically correct? You're being so kind today. Somewhat flawed.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to say, right?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to say.
269, do you want to say anything? Because you haven't hit your button all morning. Okay.
Obviously not.
Guess not.
Well, anyway, we're almost done.
I have to say, I'm loving today's show, the fact that everybody's being so cordial, it's being peaceful, no one's over-talking anybody, and Tracy, you're doing a good job at keeping the train on the tracks.
I'm doing my best, and you guys are just following the train tracks.
Diva, let me make you feel at home like the old days. Diva, shut up!
Leave Diva alone.
Feel at home.
Listen, we are trying to perfect the craft, and I'm doing some research, and if we want to make this successful, we have to perfect our craft, and we've got to make it to where everyone speaks their mind, whether we agree or disagree, and everyone hears what we don't want to hear, even if it hurts our ears. And I think that's what happens, because it hurts our ears, and we start screaming in the middle. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Absolutely. I only scream when people don't use logic.
Jeff, you don't use the logic in the other sense when we're telling you that we're responsible. Like, I appreciate what Tracy did, which is let's look at ourselves before judging other people. And there's a lot of things we need to look at ourselves straightforward. This country, when some people, some Americans say, if this country has a nuclear weapon, it's going to be all hell in her everything,
no.
All hell's going to happen.
Stanley,
wait a minute.
Stanley, let me say this. Don't get my words twisted. Don't think I don't believe that if those radicals get a nuclear weapon that they're not going to use it. I'm not going to say. Because you have to realize, it's like having, we talk about, a lot of the shootings. There's some people that I know that I would hate for them to carry a gun. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, there's some people that I know, and I know them well enough to know I would hate to have them. They should never carry a firearm. I don't care if they're in the middle of a war. They should never have a gun on them. They need to just get shot. And there are people in this world that you do not want to make sure that they, you want to make sure that they do not have that kind of firepower. Because if they have it because of their belief system and who they are, they will absolutely use it on everyone.
Yeah, they're
what'd you say, Eric?
I said they're not building a nuclear warhead to take selfies with it. They're building it to use it.
No, they're, I mean, and these people, I mean, they have no, I mean, there are some people that they can't, they don't have the self-control or the discipline to hold on to the firepower and say, I will not use it against another person. These guys want to use it because they want you to burn. And remember, they want to use it against Israel.
Okay. But you're making it sound like Israel wouldn't want to use it against them.
No, wait a minute. Israel is not promising that if we get a nuclear warhead, we're going to use it against this one, that
They're
one.
They're not promising the contrary.
But the radicals
in Iran, what did Israel say to the Iran people?
He said, if you take Israel, I'm going to take you out.
Let's have a deal. Or did Israel say, if we find out that you have nuclear weapons, we will destroy you?
Yep. And why did they say that?
Yeah, why did they say that?
So where's the control? We will destroy
you. Okay, Stanley, hold on.
Why did they say that?
Larry, answer why did they say that, because, see, I don't think Stanley understands why they said that.
Well, when somebody like Mujinajad or whatever his name was, their stated goal was to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. So if a guy is telling you that, then you're not going to turtle up and say, okay, maybe he's just kidding. You're going to take that threat as real.
Okay,
so,
but the question I would ask you is, if a president...
Stanley, let him finish. Let him finish, Stanley.
Stanley, you want to know why? That's the reason why. You cannot sit there and say that if I come to you, Stanley, and say, I'm going to rob you, Stanley. I'm going to take everything you got.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big guy, Stanley. And I'm going to take everything you got. You're going to take that as a serious threat, especially if we've had beef in the past.
Okay.
So for Israel has every right to say what they said in response.
Okay.
They didn't come out and volunteer it. That's in response to what's been said to them.
And Stanley, hold on, Stanley. No, wait a minute. And you have to realize that this was not an idle threat. So this is not like, psych, you know we play a man. This is serious. Ahmadinejad, when he sat up in the G20 summit or the United Nations,
right?
And when he actually said we're going after Israel's neck, he really means that.
And there is no peace.
So I'm not living up under a threat, Stanley. Understand? Israel is a very small.
But go ahead.
Go ahead.
Israel's very
but
small.
But the thing that you don't understand, and everybody's not understanding, is when he did that speech, nobody asked himself, what is he saying that for? Because he's saying that because Israel is responsible for a lot of stupid things when it comes to Palestinians. That's the thing that nobody wants to talk
about.
Wait. If Israel didn't do the crazy thing they did to Palestinians,
Stanley. What did Israel do to the Palestinians?
Put them out of their own place where they own the territory.
Israel did not. Stanley. No, don't tell me to wait, Stanley. They did not put Israel didn't. Israel did not put the Palestinians out of their own land. The British didn't. No, listen, Stanley. Let me finish. No, Stanley. The British and the Americans put Palestinians out and put Israel in 1408. I'm sorry, in 1948. That's how that happened.
Yeah, but I'm talking about now, Tracy. When
I'm talking about now. They didn't do that
now.
The land was theirs.
Okay, so basically I'm living in this land, and you could come over to my place where I'm living and kick me out.
Listen, you are a tenant in my land. If I want my land back, I will push you
out. Tracy, it doesn't work that way. I was in this land. It would be like, okay, if we're going to have that philosophy, then how come Indians are not kicking us out? Because they were the first ones.
Because they weren't smart enough to do it.
They could do the same. You could have the same thing. They were the first one. They were there before us. These should come to our places. And you know what? We were there before you. You should get out of your own home.
So, Stanley, let me ask you a question really quick, Stan. If an Indian walked up to you right now and said, you know what, Stan, I'm sick of you being here. Get out. What are you going to do? You're an American, right?
Yeah. I don't know what they could do. Because following the logic of Tracy, he would have every right to do that.
What would you do, Stanley? What would you do? Would you
I don't know. I'm asking
well,
Tracy.
You would have
That's the
to
question
leave.
I want
to
ask Tracy. That's on my case. I don't believe
you
in that.
You would have to leave, Stanley. You
yes,
have
I would
to.
Have to leave. And every American would have to leave if Indian would come tomorrow and say, you know what?
No. I'm not leaving.
We came before you.
Oh, you guys are talking about Native Americans. I thought you were talking about Indians from
no,
India.
No, Native Americans.
No, they already got all their 7-Elevens and stuff. They're all set.
They're straight.
They already took back the part of the American.
I'm like, somebody's got to pull me out of my funk. I feel like I just don't feel like myself. Ever since my daughter left, feel like I'm in this weird space right now. I can't even follow what you guys are saying.
Tracy, our next caller is Diva. She needs Tracy's counseling line, please.
Question it.
Dr. Tracy,
yeah, we'll do that. Listen, tomorrow we're going
to
talk about gender identity.
I need to talk to Dr. Brandy or something.
Dr. Brandy will be here next month. You got to wait on that. By that time, take two time all and wait on
Dr.
Brandy.
Like I'm losing it.
You got Obamacare. Come up here and go to her.
Listen, they say Siri
may
bring Tina to the West.
I wish I did.
Is there no
then why don't you get it?
I don't qualify for Obamacare.
She's on Medicaid. Don't worry about it.
How much money are you making, girl?
She got
Medicaid. Because once you have Medicaid and once your income when your income is low, they won't allow you to go to Obamacare into the exchanges. They automatically push you onto Medicaid.
Right.
Don't use your Medicaid and go to Dr. Brandy.
Don't be using my free time.
Dr. Brandy's at Turning Point, right?
Not anymore. No, she's now teaching.
Oh,
but she still
okay.
represents Turning Point when she comes on here with us.
I feel like I can't even follow what you guys are saying. It's like I'm underwater.
That's good. That's why it's quiet. That's why it was quiet today.
This is serious.
I didn't
have
to say Diva more than once.
For a year. I don't know if I can do it.
Why is your daughter gone for a year?
I just felt like in the best interest of my child that that's where she needed to be for the moment.
What kind of child custody did y'all go? You need a new lawyer.
We didn't go to child custody. I didn't lose her.
Not the point. You need a new lawyer. You need no.
Why?
That's too long.
No, this is an agreement between me and her dad.
That's too long.
Yeah, but
I couldn't stand it.
In light of. Depending on everything that's going on with me, I just wanted her to enjoy 13. I wanted her to enjoy her childhood. I wanted her to enjoy her freshman year of high school instead of focusing and worrying about everything that's going on with me. So,
I'm going to call you when I get off the air because you didn't lose your mind.
Why? You sound like my mother now.
Trace,
so you don't think a child spend a year with their father?
Yes. It's okay for her to spend a year with her father, but she has to come home. You cannot spend a year away from her mom for a year. That's too long. Not when mom is there.
Oh, you don't think that she'll be visiting during breakfast?
No,
I'm going to
call you
off
the air. You done lost your mind. Hear me when I'm saying
but this is something that people be ranting about all the time how mothers never make these decisions to allow the father to be a father to their
There's nothing
children,
wrong
especially
with that.
Their daughter.
There's nothing wrong with her going to live with her father for a year. It's too long for you not to be there for a year.
Well, I mean, she can see the girl if she wants.
So she needs you. We got to work on that. You lost your mind.
Right. I'm like I'm not going to go visit her.
Well, she says for a whole year.
Nothing wrong with a year being
She's
with your
in
father.
Tennessee.
You need to be.
That's too far.
No, it doesn't.
It is.
Oh, it is for you.
That's too far.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He'd have to move closer.
I know.
Well, you know what? You know,
Tennessee
from From what I'm hearing, it sounds like they came to an agreement as parents together, and that's a big step right there. That usually makes a child feel a little better when their parents are in agreement. So,
what do you know? You've been treating me like a stepchild for the last couple of weeks. You've been working.
That was a major accomplishment. Major, because up until last year, he and I weren't even speaking. So, for us to get to that point, you know, him and his wife came up. When they came up together, we all went out to lunch, had a great time, and, you know, I just have to say I have to give God all the glory because that was wonderful. Okay. And she was just
step.
Very
I
happy.
I agree. That's
wife,
excellent.
So there is a female influence in her life still on a daily basis. Okay. Now, does she have stepsisters in this relationship?
She has two stepsisters and two sisters that her dad and her stepmom have together.
Okay, and how are they, what have they turned out like, and how old are they?
The oldest is 9. The youngest is, a year, maybe not even a year. Yeah, she just turned a year. And to be honest with you, I like the stepmom. If not her being in a picture, I probably wouldn't have agreed to this.
Yeah.
But she and I are a lot alike in some ways.
Yep.
So
that
I
ain't good.
Trust the stepmom. And her kids are.
There's not going to be an older influence of an older sister or a wild child telling your daughter, hey, wise up. Here, it's only reefer, and I can get you a job in this club with me, you know, even though you're underage by 5 years, you know. Okay, so she's in a good environment. Okay.
She's in a very good environment.
Not that my opinion matters, but I am more comfortable knowing there's a female.
Oh, so Godfather Mike is okay now?
Well, I'm a little bit better. I'm still worried about Diva, that stuff's going on in her life that made her...
Diva didn't lost her mind.
This is a major decision for a mother to make like this.
Absolutely.
So it's about Diva.
Listen, I'm upset that Tracy said I'm treating her like a stepchild. That's awful.
That's true.
I'm very upset about that.
That's right.
Yeah. Treat me like a stepchild. I'm glad to have you back in here, Mike, and I know you have to work because we understand you got to pay for the car and the dog.
Well, listen, business has been really good, and I really can't turn my back. When the jack is there, you got to grab it. So that's what I'm doing, you know.
And business is good. That's good. That's good.
Yep.
One day you'll teach me how to play one of those drums.
I told you you got an open invite here. I'll show you how to tune them. I'll show you how to make them. I'll show you how to play them. It'll be great. You can do it on the air.
Oh, absolutely. You hear that?
Say that to Tracy, but if he said that to President Obama, that he would teach him how to beat a drum and stuff, that would be considered racist.
Because they didn't put him in guinea gear and put him with a bone through his nose. That's why.
We're going to teach him how to whittle a drum and beat a hunt.
You cannot put a bone in the president's ear and then talk about you going to teach him how to beat a drum. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And they had him sitting on the side of a stump beating a drum with a bone through his nose.
Yeah, no, that was definitely racist. But I mean what Mark just said about teaching you, a black lady, that he was going to teach you how to make drums and everything else. And I'm saying, well, that's not racist. That's just, you know. But if you said that about the president.
I want to learn how to play a drum.
In all fairness, they're not drums that, like, drums. These are steel drums. So, really, that's Caribbean. So, it's really not. There wouldn't be a racial element to it anyway.
Yes,
so.
There is, because I ain't never. When I go to New York, I ain't never seen a white man go through the subway playing on a steel drum.
Wait a minute, listen.
It's coming, right? We're working on it, Tracy.
There's a white man named Wilbur Krebs who is probably this area's greatest steel pan player. He's
Wilbur
a bad
what?
Boy. Steel pan. They call steel drum steel pan.
Yeah, I know. But
and,
what's his name?
Wilbur Krebs, like in
C-R-E-B,
Krebs.
And Maynard G., yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, other than Maynard G. Krebs, I can't think of another white person who played the drums in my whole life. I got to watch red people do it. I got to watch black people do it. When is a white – that isn't true, of course, because you had Gene Krupa and Buddy Miles who were recognized as great big band drummers and stuff.
Buddy
but,
Rich. Mm-hmm.
But I'm, yeah, Buddy, yeah, Buddy Rich, rather. Yeah, I say Buddy Miles, I'm sorry. Yes, Buddy Rich, yeah. And then what Ginger
but,
Baker?
So going. But again, when I go through the subway in New York City, I never seen a white man come through there beating a steel pan drum.
No, they're out in front stopping traffic, washing windshields. Everyone's got their own gig, and you don't horn in on it.
No, not in New York. No.
They did away with those guys.
You're not allowed
Rudy
to do that
Giuliani
anymore.
Got rid of those guys.
You can't even honk a horn in New York. What kind of mess is that?
Yeah, that's
who goes
that's
to New York you can't honk a horn?
Giuliani was a Democrat, and then he started getting rid of those guys that hadn't made him an honorary Republican.
Do you know what we have not talked about? And I hate that we only have 3 minutes left. We've got to bring up Dead Broke.
Can I say
Dead something? Broke?
We got to talk about Dead Broke.
Oh yeah,
before the week is up.
You mean the same Dead Broke person that bought the mansion in Chappaqua?
Yeah, no. Dead Broke people.
Okay,
I need for somebody to tell me how I can get Clinton Dead Broke.
Let's get that on. Let's get that on. $12 million a year.
People who are influential and who have potential can be broke and still get things because people look at their potential, like the bank will look at their potential and look at the
Steva, do you really
I'm
believe
not buying
that
a dead broke.
Dead broke? You believe that?
No, she was not
you,
broke.
Tell me any bank in America that would not loan Bill and Hillary Clinton some money to just live on for a while. Tell me why.
No, I got to go because I only got 2 minutes. Yes, this ain't about loaning money. I got money, the people that loan me money.
They were dead broke.
They said dead broke. Do you know what?
That means living in a tent.
That don't mean living in a tent. I'm dead broke.
Oh, dead
I
want to
know how I can become Clinton dead broke.
Money coming in. I don't
they
know
had
what
money
do.
Coming in.
$12 million
a
year
of
they left office. What's they don't spend money as the president and vice president.
She wrote a book while she was first girl.
What's his pension?
Yeah.
He got a pension.
People look at dead broke completely different. Some people look at
I'm
broke
gone.
Completely different. Hello?
Yeah. He was the first ones Obama gave food stamps to, by the way.
I think that was the
first were Bill and Hillary.
Was that the end of the show?
I think so, too. That was the end of the show. Tracy had to go. Diva, it's good to hear your voice, sweetheart. And a big hug
to you.
I know you made a tough decision because you honestly believed as mommy that was best for your little girl. God bless you, and I'll just pray for your decision.
Yeah, everybody here, even Alex, he was writing in the chat room. He agrees that it's good that you and your little girl's father are getting along. That's a big step for that little girl. That puts a little spring in her step, and it's good to hear. Good move.
Yep.
It's hard because I don't have a lot of support.
I understand.
You don't have a lot of what? I'm sorry.
Support.
I don't have a lot of support behind that decision.
In your family? Is that what you're saying?
I grew up without my dad. And all I ever wanted was just to be around my dad. And I seen that that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
And in light of me battling cancer, I have to start treatment soon. It's either I start treatment or I go for a leg amputation. That's going to be a lot for me to deal with. Mm-hmm. I don't want my daughter to have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's going, this is her ninth grade year.
Yeah.
I think she should be focused on that. She had a hard time in school last year because of my battle with cancer last year.
Yeah.
And right now she's with two parents who can get her through her first year. I'm not going to be able to do that.
On the same token,
hard being away from her.
On the same token, though, Diva, I mean, for your recovery, you gotta get away some way for you to stay in a good mindset and have a positive attitude, because that's going to help your recovery and whatever you're doing. So, I think you should just hold on to what you're saying here, that it's good for her to be around her dad. You guys are talking, and hopefully you can keep up a good positive attitude for your health, you know? Don't get into a funk.
Yeah. And we're going to help you,
and always,
Diva.
And always nurse the phone call away, Diva. Just know that you can hear her voice anytime you want.
And, David, we're going to help you with that. We're going to help you keep a good positive attitude. You're going to win this fight, and you're going to have two good legs. Because we're going to start kick a Republican once a day. So one of us every day will come by your house. You can kick us. Now you need two good legs to do that. So there's your incentive. I volunteered to be the first kick a Republican club.
Who's
going to
be the first volunteer?
Yeah, I'm the first.
Y'all should get Jeff. Let me do Jeff. I'll be all right.
No, honey. You'll make Jeff a career. Yep, strike out against
I'm
the
just
red.
Still, I'm still tripping about these lost emails.
Yeah.
About who?
I'm like, how did they think? Now you said it was a scam. To me, that turns it into a scandal.
Yeah.
For the emails,
they could have said that the first week. They could have said that the first week that they were missing. You know.
But how do you lose emails?
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait for episode 2 next week to find out.
On a government, how do you lose emails on a government server?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's a government server. That's how you lose emails.
It's
simply a government server.
Yeah.
Now, she stepped down, right?
IRS server connected to the
she stepped down.
Obamacare
she,
server.
She was fine. She resigned, right?
She resigned. She retired, and then she went on administrative leave and then resigned or something. I forget.
Did she take the emails with her?
That's
I'm
it.
Just
she
saying.
Going out the
you pack
door,
them in her suitcase.
Yeah.
Briefcase.
On a thumb drive. Yeah. No, she was smart. She destroyed them.
But can they really be destroyed, though?
No, they can't, and that's the crazy part, because they would appear on some generation of archive backup. Alabama's in IT. He could tell you that. They, you know, these big entities. I mean, come on, the IRS has got your records going back 50 years. You mean to tell me these emails aren't somewheres on somebody's hard drive? Baloney. I don't accept it.
Yeah, they're definitely somewhere. So it's just a typical cover up type story.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to get going, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, man.
Diva, good luck, and I'm sure I'll talk to you in the near future. Here, keep your spirits up.
Thank you. I will. Thanks, you guys. I'm about to drop off.
I'm gonna hang up myself there, Diva. Yeah, you hang in there, and I'm praying for you. Just always know that, okay?
And give some serious thoughts to my Kick a Republican club. It might be the therapy you need. Talk to your doctors about it. Get approval.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye, Diva.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, sweetheart.